Hello, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the number. Matt Bubala here till 5 a.m. with Roger Badish in the newsroom. And Jess reigns behind the glass. Hey, Rog, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Matt. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I screwed up the TVs. I can't see you now.
What? Oh, what did you do?
Well, I like to change, because usually in the middle of the night when we're here.
Right.
Whatever channels, I don't know who broadcasts, because Patty's always in the other studio.
Yeah.
Is
who's
anybody
in there
here during the day?
On Friday.
Actually, the last login on, so here's my detective work.
Oh.
The last login on the computer was Steve Bertrand. So
business
maybe
lunch.
He did the noon show, the business lunch
yeah.
here. Okay. So I don't know what it's on, but whatever stations on, maybe it's on like WGN TV or Channel 3.
CLTV maybe.
Maybe. And so they're doing like...
Oh, the infomercials?
There's infomercials yeah. in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So I always try to flip on some of the news channels in case, you know, something goes on, something happens, whatever.
Right.
Like I want us to see what's going on.
Sure.
But the problem is, so we've got one remote that works all the TVs.
And when you change one...
Like eight of them change.
Exactly.
And it drives you a little crazy.
Yeah. We have the same thing here. I can walk up to it, and of course, I'm small, so I can't really reach up as high as where the TVs are. And I try to hold the remote as close as possible to wherever it gets sensed on the TV screen, and it still changes the TV next to it. It just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But
during the next commercial break,
first world problems.
This is true. This is true. How was your week?
Busy as usual. Sports-wise, ineffective. Grandkid-wise, fantastic.
I imagine that's always good.
What did we? Oh my gosh, we talked about. We got into medical stuff on Thursday for some reason.
And you and the grandkids?
Yeah.
Mm, boy.
The conversation just turned into, smoking. Smoking cigarettes. We looked at healthy lungs and at tar and nicotine.
Were they doing that in school? Is that why?
No, we just it just something
just came up.
It just kind of went along in the conversation because. So I guess it runs in the family. So my mother and father both smoked. Mm-hmm. So I started smoking when I was in grade school, and have stopped for a long, long time. I got up to 3 packs a day back when I was in Vegas. My wife smoked. She finally quit about 30 years ago when our son was born.
3 packs a day you were doing, Rob?
Yeah.
Is that... what?
That's when they were cheap.
I don't even know what's in a pack, though. Is it 10 in a pack?
It was 20 cigarettes, I think.
In a pack?
Yeah.
You were doing 60 cigarettes a day?
Yeah.
So you were doing like 4 or 5 an hour?
I'd smoke maybe half, 3/4, put it over on an ashtray, and then work, and then come back, see what's out. I'd light up another one, and...
Holy jamole.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
Wow.
And so I've stopped for maybe 40 years. I haven't had one. And doctor says the lungs are fine.
That's good.
Our daughter started smoking. Our son has not been smoking. Our daughter stopped many years ago. Because it got expensive. I guess cigarettes now are like horrendously expensive.
My mom still smokes.
Oh,
and,
no.
And sorry, Mom, if you're listening, it's not a big secret. But it's insane. Like, it used to be, you know, when I was a kid, she'd buy a carton of cigarettes for $10.
Yeah.
And now, I think here in Cook County, a pack of cigarettes is almost $10,
I think. I heard it's extremely expensive. So, apparently, we started talking about... smoke or lungs or something, and then I it got around to showing them. There's a video online where someone pumps up healthy lungs and pumps up lungs filled with tar and nicotine, and it was fairly interesting. And then I described what was in the lungs. I said nicotine, very dangerous, and tar, and the oldest one says, what's tar? I go, you know when the machines put down the sticky, gooey black stuff on a road? She says, yeah. I says, that's tar. And she went, oh.
I'll bet.
So, yeah, we got to talking about that on Thursday. And I'm back in my teaching mode when I'm with them because I just love seeing them learn stuff every day. And it's just fantastic. So I'm a happy camper.
Well, good.
Yeah. What'd you learn this week?
how the Senate Judiciary Committee works, I guess. I watched a lot of that. I watched too much of that the last 2 days. Yeah. But you know what? It's funny because it's like you watch it and then you get frustrated or you don't want to. But all I can think is, like, when certain things are happening, it's actual American history taking place.
Oh, it is.
I don't know how this is going to look or how much we'll think about this years from now. Anita Hill, I don't think about much anymore, and we wouldn't mm-hmm. have talked about if it wasn't for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a moment in history, and my son Jack was telling me that in three different classes, that's what they did that day was watch. On Thursday, they watched testimony in class and talked
about it.
Oh, really? Which I think is great. Which,
yeah.
You know, that we should be doing that, and if... As awful as this process seems to be, if this gets more people more aware of our government and how it works and what they do and what the roles are, I think that's a good thing.
Well, especially if it's part of a civics class or a social science class, that's extremely, you're watching history, like you said.
Yeah.
And so to be, I know when the O.J. Simpson verdict came down, every TV in the school was tuned to that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's when I was teaching at Evanston. And then when 9/11 happened, I was at Chicago Vocational, and we didn't have, every room did not have a TV at that school. There were very few TVs around because it was so old and really didn't have any supplies. But I had a TV in my room. I taught TV along with radio, and I was able to jerry-rig one up to be able to get the an outside antenna signal.
Yeah.
But the other TVs, there was one in the library, and I think there was one in the lunchroom, but all of a sudden all the TVs went to that as soon as people started to hear about it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a moment in history.
There really are moments in history, that's for sure, and that was one of them. So we will talk about that later in the show. I know a lot of you are like, I don't want to hear about it, I want to talk about it, but... when there is, like we said, history making news, I do want to have a chance to talk about it. I've been waiting all week to talk to you guys about it. So, later in the show, we will do that. Coming up at 1:30 though, just has an interesting guest. He's been with us before. His name is Michael Wall, and he wrote a book, that's coming out soon about aliens, but he actually last chatted with us, I think it was when Stephen Hawking died, and we talked about Stephen Hawking, but he's going to come on with us to talk about a crazy thing with the FBI and an observatory, so we'll totally escape our world that we've lived in for the last week for a half hour or an hour, and then we will talk about it, we'll take your calls, and we'll talk about all the different things that happen with the national news this week. 312-981-7200 is the number. We got the news coming up in a little bit here on 720 WGN. I said Jeff's working the music, keeps us pumped up, keeps us going a little bit here in the middle of the night when it's been kind of a rough week for all of America. That's right, I'm sorry Jess, it's not your birthday, it's over, it's done. You're old.
It was her birthday.
Jess's birthday was, it was on Thursday, by the way. It's 2 days ago now. Now yeah. It's Saturday already, kiddo.
She's getting older and older.
She is getting older and older. You turned 27. That was her golden birthday.
Yes.
Talked about that last week. 27 on the 27th.
I'm getting old, Matt.
Believe me. I know.
did you see? She left her cane in one of the rooms.
But I am so much older that I can't make fun of you at all.
And I'm even so much older.
Yeah, I'm glad to have Roger around, or else I'd really feel old around here.
Let's see, Jess could be one of my kids.
Jess could be your grandkid, and I could be your kid.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Jess could be my daughter.
Yeah.
That wouldn't. And the sad thing is when somebody's old enough that they could have been your daughter, and it would have been scandalous. No, it would have been. Good. So I got that at least. I would have only been 16, so it would have been terrible.
It would have been legal in some parts of the country.
I'm not saying it would have been illegal. I'm just saying it would have been, you know,
scandalous.
One of those things that people are talking about.
You and Jerry Lee Lewis? No, that's not right. No.
That was his cousin, too. So there's multiple levels of badness.
Yeah, right.
And she was 13, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Thanks, hey, Raj. Hi, Jess. How are you? Hope you had a great birthday.
Thank you. Thank you for the sweetest fish.
You're welcome. I always try to bring Jess a snack as I buy snacks for the night. Roger always has a whole buffet of snack in the
I bring my own
newsroom.
You're the best.
Jess had a tough week this week.
Yeah.
Because she found out that her doggy, what is doggy's name?
Rusty.
Rusty, who is 10, has a big tumor in his belly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on. So it's been a tough week for Jess because Unfortunately, they're telling her that there's not so much that they can do about this. I mean, they can, right? But it's going to be a huge expense, and they don't even know. What were they telling you? Just did they not even know if you would survive the surgery, or just that it's not going to be worth it because it's not, or is there not even a surgery they can do?
He's anemic, so the likelihood of him making it through surgery would not be very good.
Okay.
So we're just going to spoil him and love him. And tomorrow we are throwing him a party.
Oh, that's cool. Great. So now, is the veterinarian able to say like how much time they think he has?
No.
No.
They didn't say.
And how's he doing? Is he getting around okay, or is he?
He's immobile, but he's still like really independent. So
yeah.
He's,
does he seem happy? Is he wagging his tail? And
he is wagging his tail.
Good. Well, that's good. So I told you earlier this week, you should make a little bucket list for him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do that when they know that their dogs are, you know, heading into their golden years. So you're having a party tomorrow.
Yes.
Is there anything else on the list that you're going to try to do with him?
Well, Stefan bought a wagon.
Okay. So now you can get him around more easily.
So we're going to put him in the wagon and then take him for walks because we also have a puppy. That way they can still do fun stuff together.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of Rusty's human friends are coming over tomorrow.
Excellent.
And we're grilling burgers, and then we're all just going to hang out with Rusty. Aww. And then if people want, they can also bring their dogs because Rusty's really social.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're all just going to have a puppy play date.
That's kind of, yeah, I could see, puppy party. I could see Rusty like in his wagon just overseeing everybody
yeah.
playing
from
in the
his
backyard.
Throne.
Yes.
Yeah. Rusty's the boss.
Like everybody, it's like a Game of Thrones. Everybody come and kiss the ring on Rusty and... Yeah. Hello, Godfather.
He got the wagon at Menards.
Oh, very nice.
Like
very
before nice. Dinner.
And you got to put like a little blanket in there and a cushion.
Very,
and,
very detailed in your yeah. description. Too.
yeah.
Got the wagon at Menards.
Yeah.
Right before dinner.
Can I ask a question, Jess?
And, yes.
And I think I know the answer to this because I think I saw a picture. But Rusty is a golden retriever, correct?
Nope.
No?
He, well...
What is he?
We for sure know that he's a Rhodesian Ridgeback mix.
What?
Know. A Rhodesian Ridgeback, for sure.
I have no idea what that is.
Google it.
I will.
Steve Dale could tell you.
And the reason I ask is, because from the picture that I thought I saw, it kind of looked like a golden retriever from the face, because there's another Rusty that I know of. That was my first dog.
It was my aunt's golden first dog, too.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Golden Retriever. Was
golden Retriever when we lived in Evanston. And we only had him for a couple of years before he suddenly disappeared. Not sure what my dad did with him, but we suddenly did not have a dog.
So. Oh, he didn't. So he didn't run away.
No, he didn't run away. No.
And Dad wouldn't tell you what happened?
Never knew. And I never thought to ask. All of a sudden, he just wasn't there. And it was like, okay. I think it might have been because of the three kids. None of us wanted to take him out and take care of him. And I had no clue. So I only have like two pictures of me with Rusty. So
poor Rusty.
That's why I thought it when you called him Rusty and I saw the face. I thought, oh, that looks like a golden retriever.
Rusty is a good name.
Yeah.
This is a good name for a dog or a baseball player.
Rusty Staub.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. That's probably the only Rusty we know, right, Raj?
I think there's another one. I can't remember.
And then there was, we grew up and Jess would not know who we were talking about. But what were the commercials we always saw growing up, Roger? And can you still sing the song?
Oh, my gosh. Wait a minute now. Now you've got...
We used to all have the sticker in the back window on the... I think it was on the passenger or driver's side of the car. I remember all our Oldsmobiles growing up, I think, always had the little sticker of him in the window of the car. 312...
Oh, Rust-Oleum.
Nope.
What?
312-981-7200.
Remember, I'm older than you.
We
this might have come...
We don't have a prize list, so there'll be no prize, but 312-981-7200.
Why don't you have a prize list?
I don't know, because we never think of it.
Oh, okay.
Call me right now and tell me who I'm thinking of. What were the commercials that played all the time?
Rusty. Rust-Oleum. No, not Rust-Oleum. A sticker on the back window of the car.
I don't know the answer.
You don't know?
No.
No. Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Wow. I am totally baffled.
I don't think the product even exists anymore. But when we were driving in our cars, I believe in the back window, like the side, the passenger side window in the back. Texter from 224 got it. Rusty Jones.
Rusty.
Remember, you would get a car, and then you'd have them do the like Rusty Jones package on it.
Oh, the weatherproofing.
Yeah, it was like rust proofing.
We never got that. That's why we never had that.
Okay, but there were a lot of commercials for it, Roger.
I don't remember.
The jingle? Come on.
I'm sorry. I do not remember that.
Hello, Rusty Jones. Goodbye, Rusty Car. You don't remember that?
Not at all.
No. Oh! Hey, Matt.
Yes.
You know how you said that I should make a bucket list?
Yes, for the dog.
Yeah. Well, remember a long time ago on previous shows, you said that Roger and I should get a bucket list.
Well, because Roger had like nothing at all he wanted to do.
Right, I've already accomplished.
By the end of it, like, nope, I'm good. Except. I'm happy. Now he's got Disney World for the girls.
Yeah.
He's got that, but he was so like.
Well, I've done.
Depressing.
Yeah. I'm not depressing.
It was depressing
me.
It was depressing me.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I apologize.
I'll
get a bucket and I'll put something else in it just for you.
You were going somewhere with this, Jess, I'm guessing.
Yes. Well, I need some suggestions on.
For the bucket list?
Yes.
That's a good idea.
So and my own bucket list.
Well,
I mean, I've been on
a plane. You're
still
a little young for that. You have finally flown.
Yes.
You did that last year, right?
By 27. Yes.
Got that done. Okay. All right. Well, we've got a guest coming up. We got to get to the news. We've got a guest. And then we're going to talk about the week that was. And if you have texts that you could send for Jess for suggestions. And Roger and I will give her some bucket list suggestions later in the show for herself. But also, if you guys could send some suggestions for her dog, Rusty, 224 text. We would call my little cousin Rusty Jones because of his rusty underwear. Now, I don't know if that means he wore colored underwear or if that boy just didn't change his underwear very often. I don't want to know either. Okay. 1:31 in the morning. Let's get some news headlines, Mr. Baddock. Pat Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for staying up late with us here on a early Saturday morning. We'll be here till 5 a.m. when Orion has the morning show. Mike Wall is a senior writer at space.com. We talked to him last about Stephen Hawking. He's got a book coming out in about a month or so called Out There, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel for the Cosmically Curious. Hey, Mike, thanks for jumping on the phone with us this morning.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate you coming on. I know Jess tracked you down because there was a weird story coming out of New Mexico about an observatory being shut down, which I'm guessing had sparked some chatter among those who are always worried about what the government might be hiding. That turned out to be a really weird story. Have you been following this at all?
Yeah. It was weird on so many levels. It was weird, first of all, just because of all the secrecy. And it was that secrecy that bred all of these crazy theories. And then in the end, what the actual truth turned out to be almost as weird as some of the conspiracy theories. Like, yeah, it's this kind of obscure solar observatory down in like southern New Mexico. And about 3 weeks ago, it was just closed and evacuated with very little notice and very little explanation. And like the FBI apparently came in, but they didn't communicate with local law enforcement. And like local law enforcement was quoted by some of the local newspapers as saying they didn't know what was going on and nobody was talking to them and just everybody clammed up about it. And so since this has to do with astronomy and space, then immediately like a couple tabloids just started speculating that like maybe it had spotted evidence of some sort of alien life and the like government was trying to squash it and not like let the news get out for some reason, which I'm never really clear about why the government would want to do that. And so that just kind of spread. And then like other people were saying, well, that's ridiculous. But what's not ridiculous is this observatory overlooks like a couple of pretty high profile U.S. military sites. And so maybe, and it's up on a mountain, so it's got a good view of it. So maybe what they're investigating was like, or what's going on there is like some sort of spying thing, like maybe some foreign national or some spy that was working in concert with a foreign government, like planted some sensor on the observatory grounds that was spying on like the White Sands missile range or this Air Force base that's out there. And that was still kind of crazy speculation, but it was at least more plausible than the aliens thing. And so, yeah, that was a speculation for like a couple of weeks and just nobody was saying anything, which was really weird.
So it's the Sunspot Solar Observatory. It's in New Mexico, about 85 miles southwest of Roswell. So, of course, it's in the vicinity of where the aliens landed back in 1947. So So everybody's got their antennas up over that. Sheriff Benny House told the Alamogordo Daily News when the observatory closed, quote, "For the FBI to get involved that quick and be so secretive about it, there was a lot of stuff going on up there. There was a Black Hawk helicopter, a bunch of people around antennas and work crews on towers, but nobody would tell us anything." So you could see where that would get people really speculating. Now, the answer that's being given to us is that a janitor was disseminating or downloading or whatever child pornography. So that's why they did this. But that does seem odd, right? That it would shut the whole place down for 11 days so the FBI could investigate
It's very strange. And, all the observatory, the organization that actually runs the observatory, all they would say is that it's closed for a security issue, and they are cooperating with all of the relevant authorities, but they would not say who those authorities were or what the security issue was. So of course, that got all of the speculation just swirling. And when they finally announced what had actually happened in this child porn investigation, they apparently think that the janitor was using the IP address there, was using some of the Wi-Fi on the site to actually disseminate child porn, which is terrible, and there's not anything to actually joke about, obviously, but it's just weird. And I guess why they closed it and evacuated everything is because they regarded this person that they're investigating as a security threat. Like, they thought maybe he would either run or try to hurt somebody on the site if they tried to apprehend him or something. I just don't really know. I'm not a law enforcement person, so I don't know if that's if that's kind of standard protocol in these cases or what, but it's not standard protocol for us who sort of cover space science and astronomy and spaceflight for an observatory to be closed with zero explanation and for that to be the situation for weeks. People were even astronomers were genuinely mystified. I mean, you follow people on their scientists are saying on Twitter, this is really weird. What's going on here? So, yeah.
Well, that's the interesting thing. And I'm not normally Mr. Let's come up with these conspiracy theories, but we hear about these things from time to time, right? Where somebody's doing that and they raid their house or whatever, for a business or an observatory or whatever to be shut down for 11 days, there must have been a little something more to it. Now, I'm not trying to say they're covering up for something else, but I do wonder if they wanted to check every computer in the place. Was he downloading stuff? Could there be something besides the child pornography, which of course is bad, that he was doing that interfered with government operations or put things at risk or whatever? So maybe there is a sensible explanation. But, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, I would be willing to sort of bet. I mean, most of these situations, what they tell us is far, far less than they actually know, obviously. We're not getting the entire story. Not that I think that there's something nefarious or there's some cover-up going on, but it's possible that there is a little more to this that they're not letting us know, just for whatever reason and sensitivities involved and so on. I don't have any information to that effect, but people generally, we don't always get the 100% full story for a variety of reasons, so it wouldn't surprise me if there was something under the surface too. But yeah, I can't speculate about that.
Well, I would have to say, and so this is the wacko in me, if they were going to cover up that there was something going on, this is a really good cover story.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's crazy enough to be believable sort of cover story.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah. Wow, there was some really, all right, well, forget it. They had that going on. They're like, oh, wait a minute. They'll never think twice about this. Well,
and then they just neuralized everybody, and and it's all back to normal.
Everybody forgot about it. Well, you've got a book. You've got a book coming out in about a month called "Out There: A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel for the Cosmically Curious." What's the book about?
Mm-hmm. It's actually mostly about the search for alien life, and it's like a. It's meant to be a sort of readable guide to that. It basically just asks a bunch of questions about alien life and, for example, what might it look like if it exists? If it does exist, why haven't we found it? Where are the best places or what are the most likely places for it to actually exist, both in our solar system and beyond? And so, yeah, it just sort of walks through, because this is something that used to be, like, really fringe and used to be kind of laughable and sci-fi, but it's, like, a serious pursuit now, and scientists are, like, it's, like, something that, like, that you can actually get government grants for to actually do astrobiology, and so it's becoming really mainstream, and that's, yeah, and it just sort of goes into that and about what the prospects are for us actually finding life and what the prospects are for it to actually exist out there somewhere, which, in my personal opinion, I think it's got to be somewhere. I mean, maybe not Little Green Men or super advanced, like the kind of Star Trek stuff, but in terms of some kind of microbes somewhere, it would just be shocking to me if we're all alone, if there's nothing else like that out there somewhere. It's just, there are just too many planets. There's every star that you see in the sky, and it has on average at least one planet. And about a quarter of those are probably roughly Earth-like, you know, like have the right temperature for there to be liquid water and stuff. So it's just a numbers game. It would just be crazy if there's nothing.
If there's nothing but us, yeah. So theoretically, there's billions and billions of possible planets out there that could host life, right?
Yeah. I mean, billions is not an exaggeration. I mean, it's not, yeah. There are actually billions and billions of them. I mean, Carl Sagan's voice would be good there, but I can't really do it.
Well, here's what I always ask whenever we chat with people like you who know space and know the search for life and things. I always ask because I want to be hopeful. So I'm going to be 47 in a couple months. I'm going to be optimistic and say that means I'm about halfway done with my life. Let's hope I can make it to like 94 in good health. So in the next 47 years, will we find confirmation that there is some sort of life elsewhere? And I don't just mean, yes, there's microbes on Mars. I mean, like, something that makes us say, wow, there is actually advanced intelligent life somewhere else out there.
I don't know about intelligent life. I would put money on the sort of microbes on Mars or like one of the other worlds in our solar system. I would put money on that. Like, I mean, yes, that in the next half century we will find convincing evidence of that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, intelligent life is such a crapshoot, and there are so many. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the odds are pretty decent, and it's partly like the numbers game thing, and also partly that we're really searching a lot. I mean, we're really ramping up that search now. Like, there's a lot more telescopes that are searching, and like a lot more people doing it now than there used to be, and there's a lot more money behind it than there used to be. So, yeah, I mean, there is a decent chance, and it seems like there like should at least be a few other like technological civilizations out there that have managed to actually survive to the point where they're very advanced and haven't killed themselves along the way, like we've almost done already. Even though we're like barely technological, we've still almost offed ourselves like a couple times in our like 100 years of being a technological species. There have to be a few, it would seem, that have made it through that and are out there somewhere. But space is just so big, and those distances are so huge that to actually journey there from place to place is just such a, that's maybe less likely. I wouldn't think being visited is very likely. But to get a signal of some sort from deep space, like some sort of ping, I think there's a decent chance.
If you go back to the Big Bang and where we're at in the galaxy, how much older could are other planets possibly than ours, other stars and other planets? So if we're, say, what's Earth? Is it 4 or 5 billion years old?
Yeah, just about 4.6 billion years.
Okay, so are there planets with you know, habitable planets that, I always say habitable instead of habitable, are there planets are more like 7-8 billion years old, where theoretically people could have advanced way beyond us?
Yes, and that's a very good point, because the entire universe is about 13.8 billion years old, and our galaxy is about 13 billion years old, and there are stars out there that are way, way older than the sun, and they're circled the planets that were born the same time they were, so they're far, far older than the Earth. And it's possible that there are other planets, if they hosted life from the very beginning, could have like a 9 billion year head start on us, which is pretty crazy to think about, right? And what's also really crazy is, like, the most common stars in our galaxy and in the universe probably are these small stars, red dwarfs. They're about 75% of all stars in our galaxy, and they can live like almost forever. They can live for like, I mean, trillions of they can shine for like basically trillions of years. And that compares to our sun, which is going to die in about 10 billion years. So some of these planets around these like red dwarf stars, there could be like trillions of years for life to get started and to evolve and to advance. So that's mind-boggling when you think about it, too.
It really is. I need to take a quick break. A couple more questions for you. Mike Wall is with us. The book coming out soon, Out There, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel for the Cosmically Curious. You can pre-order it now on Amazon.com. Hold on for just a second. 312-981-7200. If you've got a question about space, jump in. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Right now, a couple more minutes with Mike Wall. The new book is Out There, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel for the Cosmically Curious. You can order it online right now, and it'll be there as soon as they make it. Mike, what's the latest in your mind on where we're headed as far as studying? And, you know, there's a lot of space travel talk now that's private space travel, and is NASA going back to the moon? Are we doing a trip to Mars? If you were running things, where would you like the focus to be? Should we be visiting other planets? Should we be searching more for life in other parts of the galaxy or in the universe? What do you think they should be concentrating on?
I would be greedy and want to do everything. And say, I mean, NASA's budget's only like about 0.4% of the entire federal budget, so I would like them to get maybe twice as much money so they can do all the things that we'd like them to do. But and expect them to do without all the money that they need. But I would want NASA probably, they do awesome stuff without like people involved. You know, their like robotic exploration is unbelievable, and it's going to keep being that. I mean, Mars rovers that have been going for 14 years, and you know, Saturn missions that have been going for 13 years before they actually run out of fuel and have to be ended. I want that stuff to keep going, but to also focus a little bit more on actually looking for signs of like the ET in our solar system, which is starting to actually happen now. I mean, NASA's considering several missions for like to actually launch in the 2020s that would like actively hunt for life. I mean, one of those is going to launch in 2020. It's going to be like a Mars rover that's going to look for signs of like ancient life. And so I would like them to kind of like push a little harder and say, well, we already know that there's, I don't know, three or four the kind of places in our own solar system that could theoretically have hosted life and might even still host life today. So I'd like them to sort of push on that a little harder. And yeah, with the human spaceflight stuff, NASA wants to like go back to the moon, and they've been told to do that by the current presidential administration. So they're like hoping to put boots back on the moon by like 2029-ish, and to kind of like use the lessons learned there to go to Mars in the 2030s. And I'm like on board with that, but they actually like might have company on Mars by the time NASA gets there. I mean, SpaceX, I mean, famously wants to start a Mars city in the 2020s, 2030s. And yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen that quickly, but I think all that stuff is going to happen because you have Elon Musk, you have like Jeff Bezos with his own private spaceflight company called Blue Origin, that he's putting $1 billion of his own Amazon stock money into every year to try to get us out into the solar system and to get millions of people living and actually working in space. So all that stuff is happening now. I mean, it's like not a joke, and there's billions of dollars being put toward that end. So that stuff's happening, and that's exciting. And I want NASA to keep doing its kind of research-focused stuff, and the like private side to keep doing the bold, like, let's just jump out there and not have to jump through all the bureaucratic red tape sort of stuff and just do it. And that's actually what we're seeing now, which is cool.
The book, Out There, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel for the Cosmically Curious by Mike Wall. Pre-order now. It comes out in November, and we'll have you back on when the book comes out. Okay, Mike?
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for being with us. We've got to get to the news now. Hear the sounds that matter, the top five at five from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes, weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's get the news now, Mr. Baddish. I do not get why, how that relates, that song relates. You said this is about the text from earlier about the rusty underwear. Turn on your microphone.
I thought you were, like,
talking to myself?
Yeah, I couldn't. The music was so loud in my headsets.
We're just having a party over here, right?
I know that.
I told you, we're just continuing the birthday celebrations all weekend, okay?
How does that Hillary Duff song to the text?
Because, well, if you want, I can sing for you, but sure. She's in the beginning of the song, she's like, you can change your life if you want to. You can change your clothes. Haha, get it?
Oh, see, clothes, rusty underpants.
It's a long road.
Yeah. Somebody told me a long time ago that if you have to explain something to someone, that it wasn't funny or something.
Or something.
Yeah.
They had to explain to me the explanation.
Okay.
2:09 in the morning here on 720 WGN.
Have we totally gone over the edge already?
Yeah, this is, you know, I think this is where everybody's at this point in the week. Jess turned 27. Her poor dog got a bad prognosis. We watched this national crazy news all week long. And that's all the news channels, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, are on the three different monitors right now. And that's all that's being covered. I'm sure this is all just on tape. But it's all about, you know, the Supreme Court nomination. I was telling the guys when I did Crosstalk with Patty that the city of Chicago has to be thanking its lucky stars that this overtook the news cycle, because we've got the Jason Van Dyke trial going on.
Yeah.
And I know that's still being paid attention to locally, but not nearly as much this week as it would have been otherwise, right?
Right. Right. Here is something really weird, and not weird. But this will never get the news.
Okay.
At least not until you dig down through all the other news that's been going on. What is one of the biggest slams against Chicago that the current administration has?
Well, the gun crime.
All right. Chicago Tribune reported 2 hours ago that over 22 hours no one was shot in Chicago.
Okay, that's great and all. But the fact that that is the headline we want to have to shout out, hey, it's been 22 hours, yeah. Nobody's been shot.
And as soon as I read that, but in about another hour when the information gets in, even though I haven't seen anything yet, but I'm sure we're going to get a report in about an hour, somebody has been shot.
Well, most likely.
It always happens.
22 hours was, that's the current streak right now, is it's been 22 hours?
Let's see here. No one shot in Chicago for more than 22 hours, Oh, all right. So that was Friday. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the end of that.
You just got a report of somebody being shot
between 12:35. Wait a minute. Oh, okay. So it was between 12:35 a.m. Friday and 10:55 p.m. Friday. 22 hours.
But and is then, that a really long streak for us?
No, I remember a... Oh, gosh, I can't remember now. Maybe 6 months ago, something. We went over 24 hours without a shooting. But then people started shooting.
But was that on a weekend? Because I assume, like, on a Tuesday to Wednesday, we never go 24 hours without a shooting?
No. Jesus. No.
Because I was going to say, well, with your 22 hours, Roger, if it's a weekday, I'm not going to give it that much credit.
No, but two people have been shot and wounded already this morning, so early this morning, like about just under two hours ago.
And there were terrible things just a couple days ago that also didn't get that much attention, but weren't two teenagers shot at the White Sox L stop?
Yes, right before the Sox game.
Jesus.
Yeah. If you go to a website, which I look at every so often.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize for the name, but this is the name of the website. HeyJackass.com. And okay. they actually list shootings in the area, whether it was an injury, whether it was a murder, homicide, they even do stabbings, just all of the physical crime in the area. And they have 10 p.m. Friday, zero killed, zero wounded.
So was ChicagoShootings.com taken, so they decided to go with Hey Jackass?
Probably.
That's odd.
But this is, they break this down. Wow. They really break it down. They got a lot of other stuff on here. Opioid-related deaths is new now. Multiple victim shootings is fairly new. The homicide trend chart, they go back to 1957. We got a lot of information on here. They've added a lot since last time since I saw it. But they compare it to the previous years for the comparable weekend. Mm-hmm. Okay. So last year the weekend tally, and they go from, I think it goes from Friday at noon to, I think, Monday morning at like 10, something like that.
Okay, I like that timeline.
That's a weekend for them.
Full weekend.
Yeah. Because, again, if you got a shooting late Sunday night, early Monday morning.
To me, that's still a weekend.
Yeah, it's by the time they get all the information in, that they wait till about 10 o'clock. So last year's comparable weekend, 5 killed, 30 wounded. So that's what we would be comparing it against after this weekend's data. But up until this early this morning, all of Friday, so there was zero for the Friday time period from noon through midnight. So we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Well, I would say that part of it, and, you know, that's great. I hope that we have a shooting-free weekend. I certainly hope shootings stop happening so much in Chicago. But I'm sure they would say, well, cold weekend, rainy weather, people aren't out as much. And I imagine, you know, every time it gets warm, the shootings go way up.
Oh, yeah.
Because more people are out and about. And if you don't have air conditioning, you're maybe out of the house or different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Things are more likely to happen.
Well,
okay.
It follows. Yeah. It follows. But what I was getting at is that when you hear this kind of news, that you don't get the kind of national response like, hey, you know, looks like things have changed for a few hours.
See, that's the thing. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah.
I understand that you wish that we were getting some good.
Yeah.
But we have so little good to report.
Yeah, I know.
That who's going to say, hey, look at, I mean, it's making fun of us maybe. You guys went a whole 20 hours without a shooting. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that's out of the news for a week. I'm glad of any national news that can keep all the things going wrong here in Chicago.
And if we go by the premise of what is news, and I've always gone under the premise that news is events that are out of the ordinary. So the reason why we report all the shootings and everything is because in a just society, you wouldn't have that kind of stuff. So it is kind of out of the ordinary. But now the opposite is true.
Now it's gotten to the point that you're reporting is news when people are not getting shot.
Are not getting shot, exactly. Because that's, for Chicago, that's kind of out of the ordinary, especially on a weekend. So
crazy.
Yeah.
312-981-7200, 216 in the morning. Papa Nino's Pizza is here, Roger.
I forgot about that.
Come on down, get your slices. Jeff's got half pepperoni because that's what Roger requested. So we've got that. So we do want to talk about what happened in the news this week with the Kavanaugh hearings and then the drama that unfolded on Friday during the day was very interesting. It was very interesting to watch. I never watch C-SPAN. I never watch the Senate take votes on things in general, unless it's, you know, some national, probably the last time I ever saw anything like that would have been when John McCain came in and gave the famous thumbs down to stop the repeal of Obamacare. So watching the Judiciary Committee meet this week and how they went back and forth and then the testimony they listened to, all of that was really amazing. And then today, Friday, during the day, watching them get their final thoughts in and then talk about taking the vote and then actually taking the vote, which if you didn't get to see it and you haven't seen a replay, you heard, oh, well, you know, Senator Jeff Flake came in with this compromise that we would, move the process forward to the Senate with the agreement that there'd be a 1 week delay and I'd be comfortable voting for it then. And then Senator Grassley says, okay, roll call. And Dianne Feinstein's like, wait a minute, what are we agreeing to? And then they start taking the vote and the Republicans are all voting yay. And then the Democrats are like, on the nominee, no, and like, wait a minute, we thought we have an agreement here. And so then Senator Flake explains what it was, but it was no binding. It was no amendment to anything. It was no, hey, we'll put it forward as long as we take 1 week break before we vote. And so then Grassley pushes it through so fast, I'm thinking. And then they say, you know, Dianne Feinstein's like, well, as long as there's blah, blah, blah. He says, well, that's not up to me. It's up to Mitch McConnell. And then he gavels and ends the, he said, we met 2 hour limit, meeting over, and gavels it out. And she's like, wait a minute. And that was crazy to watch as it happened, because there's not a lot of excitingness in politics, right? There's not a lot of procedural drama, but that really was, as these senators all sat there and the vote was delayed by 7 or 8 minutes. And then Flake finally comes walking in after everybody's seated, leans over to Grassley and says, I'd like to say something. And then he affords him this personal time. And you're wondering, and the news stations are all wondering, is Flake flipping now? Is he not going to vote yes? Did something happen? And we all saw the video of the survivor confronting him in the elevator that morning and just the look on his face. I mean, it was very dramatic for government. That's for sure. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN just said that she shares a birthday with Avril Lavigne, who is older than 27 for sure, right, Jess? How old is she? She's got to be in her mid-30s, I would think. Jess doesn't know. She just knows they share a birthday. Okay, back to the floor. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. Roger's off enjoying his pizza and some time away. Oh, she's 34. Thank you, Jess. If you want to jump in and chat at all or text at all about what you saw this week and how it went down and what you think moving forward and what you think about the state of what we're going through in America right now, it was amazing theater. It really was. The hearing happens. And listen, I'm not approaching this from this complete left-wing side. I think there are many ways to look at this. You could be very political about it. You can also step back and look at it as a whole and really try to step outside of it and watch it. And if you do that, you could be upset with both sides about it for sure. So some things where we hear that Dr. Ford says she wasn't told that the committee would have come out to California to meet with her, and she would have preferred that. She didn't want to be on this public stage. Well, if we take Dr. Ford herself, has become a pawn. She has. Both for the Democrats and the Republicans, right? Here's a very credible person. There's no reason not to believe Dr. Ford, other than Judge Kavanaugh saying, this did not happen, this was not me. But Dr. Ford herself, she told this to a therapist. She had a very compelling story. If you didn't hear, she was talking about how the reason this came up in therapy was because her and her husband were disagreeing about a rehab of their house. This was fascinating to me. They're rehabbing their house. If I understand this correctly, they're arguing about it because she wants to put in a second front door on their house. And she said he and all of their friends were like, you're crazy. Why the hell would you put a second front door in your house? That's weird. It's not going to look good. This is terrible. And her explanation was that she kind of feels claustrophobic at times. She has a PTSD type thing because of this incident. And so this is how it started coming out in therapy. And I think this was in 2012, I believe. It was about 6 years ago that she finally talked about it. And she talked about it with her husband. And you know, there's a couple of places she talked about it. Now, 6 years ago, why would she have been talking about that? She's not laying the groundwork, you would think. She's not laying the groundwork to go, you know, stop a Supreme Court justice someday. Other people would argue, well, how do we know she really said that? How do we do this? There's ways we could argue this to death. So take Dr. Ford out of it and then look at the two sides and what they did here. Dr. Ford spoke as if she would have preferred, you know, not having flown, being more anonymous, doing this in private. I think she would have said, yes, let's do that. I want to give my testimony. I want to be heard. I don't need to be in front of everybody. I don't need to fly out here. I don't need a million cameras in front of me. But there was a big contentious thing there that Senator Grassley was like, well, we would have done that. And she's like, well, I would have welcomed you and I would have hosted you. That would have been great. So there were some upset Republicans that somehow she wasn't made clear to her that that was an offer, that that was something they would have done. So the question is, well, why would she have not known if they had done that? Was there a miscommunication? Did her lawyers withhold that from her? Because if you step back and think about it, for this vote not to go forward, they needed that testimony to be as public as possible. They needed that theater of her in front of all the cameras, in front of those senators, for all the world to see. So if the Republicans, the Judiciary Committee, whoever, had just come out to California and spoken with her, and it had not been televised, we would have heard about all of this, but the Republicans would have said one thing, the Democrats would have said another, and we would have never really had the emotional connection to Dr. Ford that we got from this live televised interview. So she was a pawn of the Democrats for that. I think there's no doubt about that, that they wanted to make sure that she was testifying right there. I don't, you know, the Republicans are pushing that they sat on this forever. They sat on this forever. They did this on purpose. I don't know if they did or not. I believe Dr. Feinstein that she didn't want to, or I'm sorry, Senator Feinstein that she didn't want to bring it forward, that it was a request for privacy. So many of the questions. So then they have this, this prosecutor Mitchell from Arizona handle the questioning. She starts out wonderfully, so sweet to Dr. Ford, making her at ease. And as you're watching, you're thinking, at least I was, like, she's really starting out so friendly to her and making her at ease, and that's great, and I imagine that's what you want, but you almost feel like, is that a setup? Is that like, I'm going to befriend you, we're going to be real good friends, you're going to feel incredibly comfortable with me, and then I'm going to have these gotcha moments. And it did feel like the way she was questioning her about taking airplane rides, it was so much not about her testimony. And she said to her, and it was brilliant, you've already recounted what happened that night. I'm not going to make you go through that again. So that sounded like very caring and very concerned. But I think the truth was that it would be very hard to do too much to take away from her recollection of that. It'd be very difficult to tear that apart so much, because that part, the actual assault, comes down to a he said, she said. She remembers this. How are you going to refute too much of that? So that was avoided for the most part. Instead, questions were asked about her flying. A lot of questions about her flying. Because she reported that you couldn't do this last week because you didn't want to fly. And she said, yeah, you know, I had to get the courage to fly and talk with friends and this and that. So that does sound like, oh, there's somebody that really is afraid to fly. But then the prosecutor goes into, but you were just here over the summer. And yeah, once a year we come out and see family. And so it's not an easy flight, but yes, I do that. And for work, you you travel a lot. And she brought up something about you worked for a company that was in Australia. And she says, well, they were in Australia, but I never went to Australia. I've never been to Australia. Okay. Well, on your, I forgot, on your social media, on your bio, whatever, you talk about this love of travel and all these exotic places. She names all these places. Have you been to all those places? Yes, I have. How did you get there? I flew. And she's really tearing down this fear of flying. And Dr. Ford said, it's a lot easier to get on the plane when it's for a vacation. And so I believe she's afraid to fly, but she does fly reasonably often. So you understood like this, well, you know, you don't sound like you're that reticent to fly. Why was that tough? But then you pull back and go, why the hell is this even a question? What does it matter if it took an extra week to get her out here because she didn't really want to fly and she had this other stuff going on because, as she says, their family had to move out of their house. She had to do all these things and just wasn't ready to come. The insinuation, of course, is that the Democrats have pushed her to do all these things to keep delaying. All right, I'm late for the news. Let's do that. We'll come back and keep talking about it. I'm interested in what you have to say as well. 312-981-7200. You may call or text there right now. Let's get the headlines with Roger Battish. Oh, Jeff.
Well, meatloaf, huh?
I hate meatloaf.
I hate meatloaf.
But I won't do that. But apparently he shares a birthday with Jess also.
Oh, really? This is why we're playing meatloaf. Okay.
I'm just going to pray now that John Bon Jovi does not share your birthday, and I'm going to be forced to listen to his bump music, too.
Well, now that you mention it.
I'm sure she'll look it up. For Jess, it's not a birthday. It's a birth month.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's true.
Especially when it's your golden, what is it, 27?
Golden birthday. When your birthday is on the date of the month.
Yeah.
Your year lines up with the date of the month. So my golden birthday was when I was 25. And I do not remember doing anything special for that at all.
No, mine was when I was 24.
I don't think it definitely wasn't a thing you heard about when you were 24.
No.
I don't think I ever heard about it till I had nieces and nephews.
Okay.
So, it passed us by, Raj. That's okay. Okay, so we're talking about what went on this week, and mm-hmm. that, you know, I understood Republicans being upset about a few things, because I do think Democrats are using Dr. Ford to delay in a way, and trying to push that, or her lawyers and Democrats, I don't think her. Mm-hmm. I think she's like, hey, I've got a story to tell, I want it to be heard, so how do we do this? And then the machine got working in the background, and that's where we got. So she gives her testimony. I thought it was brilliant and terrible that the Republicans turned all of their questions over to a female prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they didn't want to look bad asking tough questions of her. The prosecutor did a good job, but I didn't like how it just became about the politics. It didn't become about the actual incident and whether or not we could find out any more about it. It became about, well, if you don't like flying, why do you fly so often?
Yeah.
You should have gotten here earlier. And it really started, you know, who paid for your polygraph test? Do you expect you'll pay for your polygraph test? Why did you get a polygraph test? Who told you to get a polygraph test?
Mm-hmm.
And it really didn't have anything to do, for the most part, with what she's alleging. Is this a vast left-wing conspiracy?
Mm-hmm.
Which you can understand that optically makes more sense to attack that, because there's only so much you can do with the actual allegation. It is what it is. He says no. She says yes. Only one other person she alleges was there. He's not testifying. But so there was only so much I think the prosecutor could do. And that's where we got. That wraps up. She did a good job. It was very emotional at times, and it was tough. I didn't like that the Republicans didn't have the guts to speak to her at all.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. I assumed only ones that were running for election anytime soon would be the ones not willing to ask any questions, but they just turned it all over. I did not like at all the way they did it in these 5-minute increments, because this prosecutor, like, takes a minute or so to explain the question she's asking sometimes,
right?
Because she has to, you know, really make sure she understands what she's asking, make sure she's comfortable. So very often they'd get to the end of their 5 minutes and kind of just be ramping up to something. And they'd be like, well, we'll come back to it. Now a Democrat. And it's like, why don't you give her all of your time, the 40 minutes or whatever, and then let's go to the Democrats. Why are we doing this back and forth, breaking it up? Because I think on Dr. Ford, that was hard, too, because she'd be looking at her papers and you know, reviewing something and then saying, okay, all right, and then, okay, let's talk about this and let's review this. And then, all right, your 5 minutes are up. Okay, now what? Now he's going to – I think as the person being the witness – in a very tough situation, in a very public situation, just kept following trying. Along is like, wait a minute, guys. Yeah. Why don't we talk about one thing at a time? Don't do this nonsense.
But I think that nothing that happened, in my opinion, nothing that happened in this hearing wasn't already planned out. As far as the five-minute questioning, that was already discussed with the prosecutor.
I'm sure
that was already discussed with all the panel members.
Sure, they knew they were going to do that.
Yes,
it doesn't make it any easier when it's actually happening.
And I think it was done for that reason, to try to keep the witness on edge, not knowing where they were going from one second to the next.
No.
And I think that it helped to make her sound questionable as to her recollection, because where she could follow a line of questioning over time, as you mentioned, 40 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever, she could do that. But to go away for 5 minutes to hearing someone else's questions or statements and then coming back to a line of questioning that was now totally different than what she had handled before, It would have had any normal person totally confused. I don't think this was, even though the prosecutor complained about it, I mean, in her statements, I don't think that it was unplanned. So,
sure.
I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I don't know that I don't feel that it was planned on purpose to throw her off or anything like that. I think it's, I don't know why they do the 5 minutes back and forth. You would think if you're giving, and maybe it's just the rules of the Senate, this is how we do it. You get 5 minute increments, we go back and forth. I don't know. Because Mr. Grassley seems to be a real stickler for these rules and how we're doing them, at least when he wants to, right? As a chairman, his prerogative. But I'm just surprised that they did it that way, because it seemed to not flow well and make it harder on everybody. When the Democrats then get their 5 minutes, what drove me crazy on that side is that, and I know they're not going to question her hard, right? Because they're believing, and it's not their prerogative to want to put any doubt in her testimony. But you would think they would at least, the point of her being here is to ask questions, to get testimony. But instead, all they did was, with their 5 minutes generally, was about 3 minutes of it was talking about how courageous she was and how much they appreciate that she's going through this and all of that, which I understand. And absolutely. But it's like when it was almost like when people win awards in an award show,
and they have 30 seconds to thank everybody,
and they thank by name every single person in their life, and I want to mm-hmm. be like, I get it, and we all understand,
right?
You want to thank everybody. Can you just say thank you so much to everyone, you know who you are, and then make some pronouncement about this award or this movie or whatever? And that's what the Democrats were doing. It's like they didn't really have anything to say. So they kept going on about how courageous she was to come forward. And she was, I do feel that she was courageous to come forward. And it was, you know, if you need to speak out, you should speak out. And I'm glad she was able to. And I'm glad they took the time to hear her and all of that. But eight different Democrats don't need to say that for 3 minutes. And there was very little actual discussion that moved things forward. And even the senator from Hawaii, and I apologize, I don't remember her name.
Onohu? Let me look it up.
I want to say it's like Hiro, H-I-R-O.
I'll look it up.
While you're looking it up, so when at one point when I heard her speak, she starts bringing up President Trump and how this is so important, blah, 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 blah.
Mazie Hirono
brings up President Trump and who he's nominated. And I'm thinking, God, guys, the whole point of this is not to do this. If there is a question about this nominee, if there is an accusation, bring them forward, hear the accusation. Don't bring up Merrick Garland. Don't bring up Trump. Don't bring up the Clintons. Cut the crap. Here, this woman came across the country She had written a letter privately at first. She didn't really want, she knew the crap that was going to go down, and now she's living this ultimate, she's paying the ultimate privacy price by doing this, right? She's lost all her privacy. She right. has threats against her. Her life is upended for now. It's craziness. And instead of asking her questions, doing what she's here to do, now we're going to just both sides just doing this political nonsense bickering. It drove me insane. I just really wish that there would have been more to it at that point than there was. Now, a texter wrote, 815 wrote, the night it happened was not mentioned once by any of the questions by either side asked to Ford. That's not completely true, because I know that the prosecutor did ask about the house, about who was there. There were some questions. There just weren't many. And at least one of the Democratic senators, I thought it was Blumenthal, but I don't remember. One of them, I believe, asked, what's the indelible memory from that night? And she said, and this was probably the most damning and emotional moment of it, mm-hmm. I thought, was when she said their laughter, those two laughing, is something that, you know, haunts me. I'm paraphrasing, but something like, you know, that haunts me to this day.
Right.
And that was, so it did get, the night did get talked about, but it didn't get talked about well or often. 815 also writes, the Republicans were brilliant for not asking any questions to her. And I do think, yes, it was brilliant for them not to put themselves in what would be a bad position of these old white men asking a young woman what really happened that night. It would look, and I didn't realize how old everybody is in the Senate. For goodness sakes, Roger, did you realize how old they all are?
A bunch of them have been there for a while.
85.
Yeah.
He's 85.
And he knows every rule in the book.
He was there when they wrote it, I'm sure. And Senator Feinstein is how old? She's got to be in her 70s, right?
She looks like she's been there for a while, yeah.
Then, God, who was the other bald guy that was next to her? He's a Democrat. He's incredible. I mean, there's
she's 85.
She's 85, too?
Yeah. She's been there since 1992.
What about Leahy? I think it was Leahy.
Senator Leahy?
Yeah.
Senator Leahy is Patrick Leahy. He's 78, a young 78.
Oh, he's the youthful one on this group.
But he's been there since 1975.
It is amazing. It is amazing.
Yeah, he's president pro tem of the Senate.
Amazing the age of all of these folks and how long they've been there. 847 says, if you think this will be over after the FBI, Dems will pull out more dirty tricks, delay and obstruct, no facts, just theater. And I think a lot of people have that opinion of it. And I listen, you're going to see this partisanly, 847, I think, whatever I say. So that's fine.
Right.
And there is a lot of partisan politics involved in this. But, and you know what? I'm going to actually say this. Lindsey Graham had a good point. Now, I sound like a raving lunatic a lot of the time. And I believe, and I've read a little bit, he was auditioning for some other job with President Trump, clearly.
Oh, well, everyone thinks he's going to be the next Attorney General.
Well, he was definitely setting himself up for that with his theatrics, wasn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows what President Trump likes. But he said, I believe it was him that said one thing. He said, don't for a minute, because, you know, on the left, they're saying, look at how Gorsuch got through. Gorsuch got through without any problems at all.
Right.
So this isn't political. And Lindsey Graham just laid out, he said, listen, this is about, he said, that Gorsuch went through because he was replacing another conservative. So it wasn't a big deal. But now this Supreme Court justice replaces a liberal and has the opportunity to swing the court, right? It's going to be more conservative than liberal. And he was just laying it flat out. That's why they're fighting this so hard. And he's got a good point. I mean, that is something you have to, you can't just say, oh, Gorsuch flowed through. You know, they're fine with nominating people as long as they're good people. No, there is some truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. And when people say that it's written over and over again, Who would lie? Somebody with nothing to lose or somebody with everything to lose? What point is it for her to lie about this because she's got everything to lose?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is it, or is it because she's got nothing? I forget how you're doing it, but basically, there's no incentive for her to lie about this.
Right.
He's got all the incentive in the world to lie about it because he's in line for the forever job.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Dr. Ford, absolutely. She seemed incredibly credible. I don't know how you even say that. Of course, it's very difficult to not believe her when you see her and hear what she says. And when you take into account, she'd said it before, it didn't just come up just now, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
However, when people say there'd be no reason for her to lie, mm-hmm. well, that's not true either. That's not true. On the far right, they want to pull this vast left-wing conspiracy. It would behoove somebody to tell a story to discredit him. And people say, why would you ever do that? Why would they ever put themselves through that? Well, because they believe that's what is most important is protecting the rights of women. And if you felt, if somebody felt that women were going to lose all of these rights if this vote went through, isn't there a possibility that somebody would do whatever it would take to make sure that that nominee didn't go forward? Yes, that is a possibility. It's not what happened here. She came out by herself months ago. Now, did the Democrats pull funny business by holding on to this to the last minute? Yes, they very well might have. They, God knows what happened between the time she first wrote the anonymous letter and how we got here. I believe Senator Feinstein that she didn't purposely do anything, but who did eventually leak it out? How did it eventually happen? That all might be uncovered someday and look pretty bad for the Democrats, I believe. But there is incentive to keep him off the bench. I absolutely do not believe it happened here, but every time somebody makes the argument like there would be no reason for her to lie about this, well, yes, of course there would. Because ultimately, if somebody believed, no matter what, we have to keep him off the bench, then there would be incentive for somebody to lie. And that's what's going to be taken advantage of on the Republican side, is asking, what is the motive? What is the motive? And that's how they try to discredit. Fox News is running a big chyron tonight, for much of the night that I've been here, saying over $530,000 raised in a GoFundMe account for Dr. Ford. And they asked her during it, how are you paying for all this? And the lawyer said, we're doing it pro bono. And she said, well, there's some GoFundMe account set up, but I don't know how that works or how I get the money. She was very honest about it all. She was very honest. But you could see that everything else is working around it that isn't honest about it. She was purely part of this process, but everything around it on both sides of the aisle was working it to whatever advantage they could. I have no doubt in that. And that's going to keep going on, and it's going to get worse and worse before it gets better. We got to take a break and do the news. We'll talk more about this after the news. 312-981-7200. Keep the calls and texts coming. We'll talk about it more next. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. 312 says, we're all living through a bad episode of Jersey Shore, the reality TV show right now. 815 says, the nearly $1 million in website funding to Ford might be a motive for her to lie about it. Yeah, you could say that. But when she first started coming forward, how would she have known there was going to be $1 million in GoFundMe campaign? And it's only at about $530,000 right now. That's quite the roundup. But yeah, you'd say if somebody would give you hey, Raj, I'll give you $1 million if you make an accusation against this guy and help us get him off Supreme Court. Well, that's a pretty damn tempting offer.
Very tempting. Personally, I wouldn't do it, though.
Of course you
wouldn't.
That's
just me.
However, there's a lot of people who would.
I know.
Especially if you truly believed you were doing something for the betterment of the country or for women or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of reasons you might be willing to do it. I absolutely don't believe that that's what happened here.
But didn't she make it known quite a while ago privately?
So we talked about this a little bit earlier, I think, when you were out.
Okay.
From what I remember from this now, I believe it was in 2012 that she first talked about it in therapy. They were doing couples therapy, and that's when she first talked about it. So she has talked about it a little bit. I don't think she had ever named a name until relatively recently. There's some different timelines on that, but she had talked about it. It's not like she just made this up just now. I think there are some therapist notes, something like that. But they were getting at that, too, and trying to discredit that.
Right, but she didn't. The GoFundMe pages didn't start until it went public.
Absolutely.
So
there's no way for, I mean, somebody could have said, hey, you do this, people raise money for you, it'll be great, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's going to talk somebody into doing something like that. I think she was honestly scared of it, afraid of it, all of those things. Mm-hmm. 630 writes, why is there no police report? Are you kidding me? Well, that is easily answerable. We'll do that after the news. Why don't we do that right now? And then we'll talk more about this. 312-981-7200. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. You heard the tone. It's 3 a.m. Here's Roger Batts. Matt Bobal with you here at 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being with us. 307 in the a.m. here until 5 in the morning when Orion takes over with the morning show. We're talking about, well, before we get back into it, we're talking about the Kavanaugh hearings and everything that went around with that the last couple of days. 312-981-7200. Lots of text coming in. You could call as well. Roger, for the first time.
Yes.
It's starting to feel like the old studio.
Uh-oh.
We are freezing our asses off in here.
It's comfortable in here, and I got the lights down. Turn the lights on. It'll warm up real fast.
We have new LED lights. They're not providing heat. 65.5 degrees in here.
Well, do the...
You almost see my breath.
I see your jacket. You're wearing your jacket.
I put it on because I'm dying now. It's just like in the middle of the night in the old Showcase studio.
Yeah.
For some reason, something would happen. It would be like you'd be sweating for the first 2 hours of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then like at 3:30 a.m., no matter what, something happened. And like it would drop 20 degrees in 3 minutes in there.
Well, you have the adjustable...
So we have two different thermostats in here.
Yeah, you should.
Which I don't understand. Why would we have two? So I started playing with one and pushing the buttons, and it looks like since I did that, it is now 65.9 degrees in here.
Uh-huh,
so maybe we're on our way up. Maybe we're on our way up.
That's what they're supposed to. But I do know that the lights, the overhead lights, put out a lot of heat. Because I've turned these down since I first came in. They were up full blast when I walked in. It was very bright and warm.
Yeah.
And I'm warm in here now. They're only at about, I don't even think they're at 50%.
I'm guessing that's more about the temperature in the room than the heat, than the lights. Because aren't we using all these LED lights now?
No, it's the lights in there because you've got TV lights.
Right.
And you've got the overhead lights, the ceiling lights. And they do put out heat.
LED.
Roger.
Yes.
I have all the lights on in here and I am freezing.
She does have all the lights on in there, Roger.
I don't think that's true.
Oh.
Of course, you don't have TV lights on in there.
In here? No.
Oh, Jess doesn't.
Oh, that's right.
Do you have a thermostat in there, Jess? Anywhere?
You should. Every room's supposed to have a thermostat, from what I was told.
Is this going to be like another hide-and-seek game of...
No, it should be on the wall
there.
It should
be on the wall, so maybe over by the lights. Are there lights by the door? There might be a little... You can get up and look.
That's fine. See one from where I'm sitting.
Are there light switches?
There's one, but there's no thermostat.
It's all by itself?
Next to it.
No, you're just going to freeze, kiddo. Sorry.
Possibly. Although it did take me like a month to figure out where our mailbox was, so.
Yes, it did. And we still don't know the, what's it called?
The combination
for the lock on that door that we have over there.
Maybe it's the temperature of your room.
Oh, maybe. You should go try that.
Wait, there's three numbers.
65.9. 659.
There you go.
Every time it goes up, it automatically changes. So real quick, before we jump back into all of this, Cubs, one game. So the White Sox lost doubleheader on Friday.
Right.
They've been eliminated for a while. I don't even know where they're at because it's terrible. The Sox are in this great rebuilding. You know, introduce Michael Kopech, then he goes down with Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
He's out for next year. We have this Eloy Jimenez is the one that they're not bringing up yet.
Yeah.
That they're going to next year. So there's all sorts of issues going on.
They're in fourth place. 62-98 is the record.
So there's like the thing is they're having such a bad season.
Mm-hmm.
So 62-98. So still a shot at losing 100 games. Two games left, right? Today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yeah. Still a shot.
They're 28 games under. They're 28 games out of first place.
Still a possibility, though. So even having the possibility of losing 100 games, yet even if they do, they're going to have like the fourth draft pick. They're not getting, I mean, the Orioles are historically bad. They've lost, what is it, almost 115 games, right?
113.
113 losses.
Kansas City's lost 103.
Are the Sox the third worst record then?
Somebody
else being worried. Where the Marlins
two, yeah, they've got the third worst. Tigers have lost 96. I'm looking at the Rangers have lost 93. So those are the worst teams in the American League right now.
And is anybody in the National League anywhere near?
As far as losses, yeah. Marlins 96, Reds 94, Padres 95.
So some really bad teams.
Yeah.
But luckily for the Sox, they'll get the third pick then it looks like, right? Only two teams have worse records.
Yeah, looks like
so,
it.
So in a rebuilding year, and this is what the Cubs went through and did, mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to lose, let's get good draft picks. So mm-hmm. good for the Sox with that. But the Cubs are playing for it this weekend. They'll have a game today and tomorrow against the Cardinals. Still only one game up because the
right.
Brewers, of course, are playing one of the other worst teams, as you mentioned, the Tigers.
Yeah.
So you got to assume the Brewers are going to win out, which means the Cubs have to win out. If the Cubs lose
exactly.
one of the next two, but the Brewers win their next two,
they'll be tied.
There'll be a one-game playoff,
right.
I believe, on Monday.
That's right.
Which is, and we got to figure that out. I know my son Jack has been talking about it because he's always excited at this time of year about the possibility
right.
of these one-game play-in games. But if the Cubs and Brewers tie for the division,
mm-hmm.
well, one of them then would also be a wild card team.
Right.
So I believe they would play a one-game playoff to decide who's the champion because you don't want to be the wild card. The wild card
right.
is one and done. The division champion would have home field advantage throughout the National League playoffs because they're battling for the not only the division, but mm-hmm. the best record in the National League.
If the Cubs are forced to play a one-game playoff game against the Brewers to decide National League Central crown, the game will take place 3:05 Monday afternoon at Wrigley. If it's the only tie-breaking game. If Colorado and the Dodgers have to have a tie-breaking game, then the Cubs game would go to a 12:05 start.
Which is so hard to go to school, you know, for the kids.
Oh,
we got that going on. That reminds me of, you know, 1984.
Are you writing notes for the kids now? Is that
I might think
doing?
About it. It'd be worth skipping a day of school, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I remember 1984. I'm 13 years old.
Yeah,
the Cubs are in the playoffs, and they're playing the games while I'm in school.
Yeah,
I got busted. I brought a transistor radio
mm-hmm.
and a little silver transistor radio. And you remember when we were kids, you know, now you've got your earbuds and your ear pods and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But there used to be for transistor radios, almost like an IFB that the TV people wear. It
right,
was just like
right,
a little
right.
white plug and a really long cord.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to go to St. Thomas More in Munster, Indiana, with my transistor radio tucked into my sock.
Wow.
And I ran the wire all the way up my leg,
uh-huh.
under my pants, under my shirt, up through my back.
You
and
little,
into my ear.
You little sneak, you.
Mr. Nordyke caught me. Made my mom come in.
How did he catch it? He could hear it?
I think he could see the white wire.
Oh, going up to your ear, yeah.
You'd think you'd get credit for ingenuity.
You'd think you would.
But no.
Only if you didn't get caught.
But no. Not how it works.
Yeah. You haven't done that since, have you?
Well, I quit school soon after. I was in sixth grade at the time. No, I never did sneak a radio again. But I don't think, in fairness to me, that was 84. Cubs
okay.
didn't make it again until 89. I was then in high school, and I probably would have just ditched school and gone and watched the game somewhere at that point.
Well, yeah. So. Definitely in high school. You had a senior ditch day, didn't you? At your school?
Did we have a senior ditch day at Mount Carmel? I do not recall. I did ditch a lot of school.
Oh.
And got caught a few times.
Okay.
Got in trouble for that. But I would go to great lengths when we would ditch school. and I love, this is the only thing I love about us being out in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell these stories without having any worry that the kids somehow stumble upon this. When we would ditch school, I remember going to great lengths to try to cover tracks. So we would, I had a couple of guys I drove to school, and we had a carpool, and sometimes what we would do is we would go in late, and we would wait for, there was a Shakey's pizza.
Pizza?
In, oh, God, not the River Oaks area, not Lansing, but between Lansing and Hegwisch, what's there? Burnham? Calumet City? Somewhere around there.
Okay.
There was a Shakey's.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have a buffet.
Right. For noontime buffet. I loved Shakey's buffet.
I think it opened like at 9 or 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember one time we decided we're going to go in late. We're going to go have the Shakey's buffet first. But they didn't open right away.
Right.
So we had time to kill. And I think we went to like a Walgreens or something. Or maybe, what were the stores at the time?
89?
Like, what was the one with the stripes? The black and white stripes?
A drugstore?
Kind of like a druggish drugstore, like a...
Rexall?
No, not Zayre, not Zales.
Zayre had Zales a black and white stripes.
Something else that was sort of a... I remember the drugstore in our town growing up was called Super X.
Oh.
And that later became a Jewel Osco. But it was Super X at the Sterk's grocery store, or right next door. Then it became Super X, I think, became Riber D Drugs. Anyways.
Mm.
Lost in... I'm becoming you now, Roger.
Thank you.
Matt.
Yes, Jess.
Side comment.
Please.
When you were talking about skipping class when you were 13, I just came across...
But hold on. Hold on. I did not skip school when I was 13. When I was 13, I snuck in the transistor radio.
Oh,
I didn't
start
skipping school till I was driving to school. So I was 16, 17, 18. But,
okay.
But please go ahead.
So that he can make a quick getaway.
Well, true.
Well, according to a new study, people over 40 should not work more than 3 days a week.
Wow. Okay, well, Venture. Thank you. Thank you. Texter 630-847-815. Venture had the black and white stripes. That's who I'm thinking of. Do you remember Venture?
Yeah.
Well, something like that. Anyways, we went to a place. We'll get back to that because I love the idea, but there's no way I survive working 3 days a week. Or does anybody else, I would imagine, unless they're already wealthy enough to retire. But we would go, like, so we went to the drugstore and got, like, a super ball, a rubber ball, big rubber ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out behind the Shakey's and played, like, wall ball for an hour,
mm-hmm.
you know, bouncing a ball off the wall and catching it till they open. Then we go in, we eat, then we're going into school. So now it's like 11:30 probably when we're getting to school. And I think I called and said we got a flat tire. I actually remember going, because I'm thinking, you know, they're going to be on to me here.
Right.
And I worked at a gas station in Munster at the time at the Wellman Standard. And so I knew how to change tires, fix tires, check the oil, all that stuff. So we stopped on Stony Island Avenue at a little auto place where they fixed tires. And I said to the guys, I need to borrow the chalk. Because when we worked on a tire, you would have this grease pencil that you would draw on the tire.
To find the hole?
Well, we found the hole, you'd circle it.
Yeah, right.
And then you might make a note or like, what did we do? So when we took the rim off, I think we would make a note where like there were, you know how you put weights on rims, how they balance
mm-hmm.
them?
Yeah.
There were some markings we would put on the tires.
Okay.
So I borrowed the grease pencil so I could make marks on my tire.
So it would look like.
So if they were questioning whether I really, I'd be like, look, they just, you know, there's the writing on the tire. You can see where they repaired the tire. Very detailed in my lying back then, Raj.
You wasted way too much time.
You know how we got busted?
How?
Steve Hutchings left the receipt for Shakey's Pizza in his pants pocket. So when his mother went to do the laundry, he had a receipt for like 10:30 in the morning from Shakey's. Steve.
He was the smart one of the bunch, huh?
Well, he was smart in that he's the one that never truly wanted to ditch. He'd be like, why don't we just go to school?
Okay.
And then he would be the one that gets busted.
Mm-hmm.
So then I felt bad because I'm sure his mom was just like, oh, my God. And I'm pretty sure he didn't get to ride with me anymore after that, probably.
Yeah.
And you can't blame her. I don't remember how we devolved to that, but we did.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all for texting in about Venture. I got like 15 Venture texts. Everybody's remembering the good old days of Venture. Venture and Rusty Jones. That's what we've gotten so far tonight. So when we last left the proceedings.
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
And yes, Jess? What do you want to say?
Nothing.
God.
I was just going to say Venture, Rusty, and Meatloaf. What? We still have like 2 pieces of pizza left.
All right. Before we jump back to it, I'm going to go through some of these texts.
Okay.
815 writes, $530,000 GoFundMe plus $250,000 for security plus little funding sites. So that's their take on how much money has been raised. 630, this is Trump's problem. Why he didn't look at the great lady judge from Chicago? None of this crap would be going on. Our country is being run by older, very old people. Fire them all. Let God take over. Well, I don't know that that's our best plan. But if you don't like the makeup of things, encourage people to get out and vote. 708 writes, it seems Trump would have fit in perfect at the Kavanaugh parties. The mask came off to show how biased and nasty he truly is. I would not want my daughters around any of those people. Their God is money. Okay, that's quite a tangent to go off on 708, I think, because I don't understand their God is money. I mean, I know these kids grew up rich and affluent and sound like they were having crazy parties, things like that. The mask came off to show how biased and nasty he truly is. That is one aspect of it that I found most compelling. When Judge Kavanaugh gave his very impassioned, I think like 15-minute opening statement. Did you get to see any of that at all, Raj?
No, I didn't see the opening.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
He came out.
Who was this again?
Judge Kavanaugh. So Dr. Ford testified.
Oh, yeah, that. When he came back.
And Judge Ford.
When he came back.
Sorry, Judge Kavanaugh in the afternoon.
Right.
Comes to do his part.
I caught bits of it later.
He
after
has like
the fact.
A 15-minute opening statement.
Yeah, he was fairly upset.
Oh. He came out, you know, like fully loaded. Like, I texted to somebody, at some point in the speech is coming, if I was half the man I used to be, I'd take a flamethrower to this court. You know, the whole Al Pacino thing. That's where he was headed. And I said it at the time, and I saw people tweet it as well. Somebody tweeted, audience of one.
Ooh.
Audience of one.
Okay.
And you know what that meant?
No.
This performance is purely for President Trump.
Oh.
Because it had been coming out that Trump is, you know, wavering a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you knew that if this day went badly, if Thursday went very badly,
right,
he's done. And I had bets with two different people that his nomination would get pulled by the end of Thursday because they were starting to waver. Other allegations are coming out. All these things are happening. And you know Trump's going to be like, what the hell? We need this person on the court. They right. cannot take the chance that Democrats could possibly take over the Senate. And that's not a guarantee.
Right.
But they don't know what's going to happen. They have a very slim majority. And so the Republicans want to get their guy on. And when it comes down to it, while they like him, they want their guy on the court.
Right.
His name doesn't have to be Kavanaugh. Their guy needs to be there. That's the most important part to that side, right? That a conservative judge gets on the Supreme Court. And if this gets held back, if we got to go to somebody else, if this keeps getting delayed, that might get screwed up. So you know that in the end, Trump will cut and run, as anybody would if they need to. Politics being politics, they want their guy in the Supreme Court. They're not going to take a chance on the midterms. So either this goes well for him, or next one in line. It's just like when somebody gets injured in football and they say next man up. If this goes bad for Kavanaugh, it's next man up.
Yeah.
So he comes out, I fully well believe, knowing he has to impress President Trump of his passion and everything else. Excuse me. And he says the right things for President Trump.
Right.
He attacks the Democrats. He brings up the election and the Clintons. He brings up the Clintons in his opening statement, defending himself from accusations of sexual misconduct. if we step back and think about that, why the hell is he bringing up the Clintons? Because he's following in line with President Trump's whole anti, the Dems are upset that we won, and so now they want to do this and that. And he just went on this blistering attack of the Democrats and the left and all this stuff, which was fine for playing to President Trump. And it clearly worked because he tweeted later that night, now you see why I nominated Brett Kavanaugh. Right. He's so strong and this and that and this and that. But when you think about it, if you step back as a senator, I mean, he already doesn't have the Democratic vote, so maybe it doesn't matter. But if there's anybody kind of wavering, thinking about what kind of person do we want on the bench, I doubt, although I don't know, but I doubt ever before in history has a nominee made a partisan attack during his confirmation process.
That was usually it was unexpected.
Like, usually they're not answering questions. You know, usually these, as I recall them, and I haven't seen a ton of Supreme Court nomination proceedings in my life. But as I recall, they all ask him about abortion. They all evade the answer, you know, saying, well, it depends on the case and this and that. And I don't want to answer how whatever, because they don't want to, A, tip their hand as to how they lean. But also, and truthfully, you would hope that every case is different. It always depends on certain things. And in general, I feel, as I recall, that judges don't answer much during these proceedings on how they would vote on things.
Right. They keep it because they're supposed to be independent. They're the third branch of government.
But he just went off on the Democrats. So, to me, that's the disqualifying moment. That's the moment where I would say, and listen, I'd be like, guys, you've got time. The new, so, and correct me if I'm wrong, Roger, but even though there's an election in November.
Midterms.
Nothing happens until January.
When they're seated.
This Congress finishes the year.
Right.
So if somebody else was nominated and they didn't get to the hearings until November 15th, the Republicans could still push the person through as long as they get all 51 Republicans or 50 of them and still hold the tiebreaker. So they still have time to get somebody else through if this falls apart. I know it's a process and it takes
time.
It's not a lot of time, but theoretically, you'd still get your person in there.
It would be tight, but I think they could possibly do it if they found the right person, a person that would be more acceptable, though still holding to the qualities that the Republicans are looking for.
Well, I would say, if I were a Republican, my argument back to that would be the Democrats will pull whatever they can to delay that. And while they don't have the power by votes to be able to delay it, they could find accusations, try to, you know, smear somebody. So I understand the argument from the right that'd be like, no, we don't have time because they'll pull some tricks, they'll pull some shenanigans, yada, yada, yada. And so I can understand why they would say that as well. But once I heard that tirade, I was like, you know, we're never going to know truly what happened in that bedroom. You're going to either believe Dr. Ford or you're going to believe Judge Kavanaugh, but we will never 100% know for sure what happened there.
Yeah.
However, what we do know,
even under questioning by the FBI.
Yeah.
I don't think you're still going to know.
You're never going to truly, truly know.
Even though the guy in the room with them has said he will testify. Judge has said he will testify to the FBI.
He said he will talk to the FBI?
Yes.
Because he doesn't want to testify. He doesn't want to be public. He wants to be private. That's what he had, his little statements that he kept releasing. If you'd look up what he released on, I don't know if it was Thursday night or Friday night.
I will cooperate with the FBI probe of sex assault claims.
There's more to his statement than that, isn't there?
Okay, let me hold on a second. Stop loading page.
Tell you what, I'll look it up. You got to do the news.
Yeah, okay.
It's 3:31 in the morning. Let's do that. We got more to talk about. 312-981-7200. Here's the headlines. Here's Roger Bata. Justin's playing songs that make her feel warm. These are freezing our tuchuses off in here tonight. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. What were we looking up when you were going in the news, Raj? I got distracted because
there
was something shiny.
Specific details of what the lawyer for Mike Judge is, what he's going to say
his
or
statement.
Agree to.
I know he had sent out something. I don't.
He says he's going to answer all the questions. Because I pulled it up just as we were
good.
Switching over.
So he'll talk to the FBI. And honestly, well, here's the thing. The FBI, and listen, it's political that the Democrats want the FBI to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
It is, because that's going to take time, and maybe something else will come out or whatever. It's also political that the Republicans don't want the FBI to investigate, because mm-hmm. they just want to vote already, and they think enough with this.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it's a ploy to just delay. But also, they don't want the FBI substantiating anything or making anything look worse. Because I think that the truth is, when it comes to the Dr. Ford allegation, she says it happens, he says it doesn't. We're never going to get any better than that. You're going to believe
right.
one or
it's
you're going to believe the other.
It's always one word against another.
Yeah. And here's the problem. I mean, with the FBI investigation itself, most likely, I don't think much is going to come out of that. I think that they're not going to be able to say, okay, we're able, they're not going to be able to say, we can prove this happened. They'll ask more questions. Who knows, you know, if they talk to Mike Judge, he might say, you know, it's interesting because he hasn't said that never happened. He said the Brett Kavanaugh I knew wouldn't do something like
right.
that. And I don't ever recall a party like that. Saying I don't recall.
Mm-hmm.
So was he blackout drunk and is like, you know, I spent a lot of those years a real mess. I don't think that ever happened. I don't know what exactly he is saying.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come out and emphatically say that never happened. Now, maybe he just didn't use that term, but he will say that now. I don't know. I don't know. That's the only possible thing I think that could come out is something more interesting by them talking to him. My guess is it won't. My guess is that after a week, they'll say, here's what we've been able to find out. And the Republicans are going to say, see, it's nothing. And the Democrats are going to say, yes, it is. There needs to be more time to look into this.
But they're not going to do a full investigation. They're not going to corral
a limited scope
extremely
investigation
limited
for a week.
Just on the charges that have been brought.
So they said on the charges that have been brought forth so far, the allegations, the credible
right.
allegations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean? Because besides Dr. Ford, there have been at least two other, the Deborah Ramirez allegation.
Mm-hmm.
This is that while at Yale, they were playing a drinking game. She got very inebriated, as they all were. And somebody put a sex toy in her face. And then, to be even funnier, she alleges, Brett Kavanaugh dropped his pants and thrust himself into her face, and she had to touch that inadvertently when she pushed him away. There's
right.
that. And then Ronan, no, that was the
not
Ronan Farrow story.
Right.
Then Michael Avenatti.
Mm-hmm.
Which just makes this a bigger circus. And not because he was the lawyer for Stormy Daniels. And I hate when, porn star lawyer, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, folks. That's not the discrediting factor, because guess what? She was paid off. That's been admitted. So don't be throwing that part out there. Oh, porn star lawyer. Yeah, remember the porn star that the president actually did pay off? That's all true and acknowledged. So that's not your comeback on that. However, the guy is an ambulance-chasing knucklehead, isn't he? I'm going to equate it to this, and this might sound bad, but I hate every time that there is something happens to a female that she comes forward on, and standing next to her is Gloria Allred.
Mm.
Gloria Allred and Michael Avenatti should be some marriage made in lawyer hell. They should team up, you know? Except that their heads would probably both explode because there wouldn't be enough room in the, you know, there's not enough room for both of them in this world, I think. They both seem to be, I'm representing these people because I can talk to you about myself. That's how it always seems to me when I see those two. I do not like Michael Avenatti. I cannot believe he is so full of himself after representing Stormy that he thinks now he's going to run for president. It kills me. So he's got another person who on the face of it seems like you would say, well, this is a credible person. They've had multiple government clearances and all of these things. And she alleges that there were parties. And I'm sorry, I don't recall if this was in the high school days or the college days, because there's so much going on here, but that there were house parties that she attended where she knew boys. I guess it was high school because it's with Mike Judge again, that there were boys that were getting girls excessively drunk, spiking girls' drinks, and then taking their turn with them. Now, Avenatti is using the term gang rape and all of these things and saying that this was all happening. And then and nobody's putting much weight on this one at all, even though the witness seems incredibly the possibility for a lot of credibility. She says she was also attacked. She didn't say by Brett Kavanaugh, but at one of these parties, people are like, why would you keep going to these parties if you knew this was going on? Those are tough questions to answer. And I wonder, what will the FBI only concentrate on Dr. Ford and Mike Judge and Brett Kavanaugh, or will they look into any of these other allegations in the just 1 week time that they have? In the end, you can't imagine they're going to find out much, that they're going to have very much that they can report, and certainly nothing that's probably going to sway anyone's opinion that's already been formed. Yeah. So at the end of this week, the Republicans will say, there you have it. You either believe him or you don't, and we're voting. And the Democrats are going to say, and it's going to be partisan, and maybe there'll be some truth to it, and maybe there'll be some real reason that we should take longer. Maybe there will be, but nobody is going to believe it because the Democrats are going to look like they're saying, hey, we need more, no matter what happens.
Right.
They're going to say we need more time.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI should have more time. There should be more time. This shouldn't be rushed. This is the most important, blah, 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 blah. That's all true. But it's just going to look like it's politics. And so unless the FBI is able to corroborate some stuff, or if at the end of the week, and the end of the week is not just for the Republicans to get him in. It's also, I believe, for the Republicans to get somebody else in. Because at the end of the week, they want to know, do I have the votes or not? Because in the end, they don't know for sure that they have these votes. You've got two female senators who are wavering. I believe two other senators who are wavering. Jeff Flake is a little bit out there. So there's still the possibility that they don't have the votes to get him confirmed. And I think at the end of the week, the Republicans are going to say, let's figure this out. Either we have him or we don't, and let's get somebody else in there if not. They certainly will not let the process drag out any longer than this. They're going to call a vote. Mitch McConnell will call that vote.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they have the votes at the end of the week, I guess, remains to be seen in what happens between now and then. And I'm pretty sure, I'm sorry, I apologize. What was I saying? Mike Judge? It's Mark Judge. Mike Judge, I believe.
I said Mike Judge. I apologize, too.
I think
Mike Judge is
the guy that's
the cartoonist.
Yes.
The,
what's that
cartoon show?
Show in Texas. God. What was that?
Well, the guy that sold the propane tanks.
Oh, yeah. Propane. Buy some propane.
Oh, he also did Beavis and Butthead, right? I think that was his first claim to fame. But yeah, the other show that we're talking about, which now, of course, I can't recall. God, I'm getting...
Where they're all standing out in front for a whole day.
Drinking beer. In the front just, yard.
Yeah, standing there.
He sold propane.
Yeah. Bridget used to love that. She would always walk around saying, you want to buy some propane?
312-981-7200. 630 writes, 10 parties. This girl should go to jail. She knew this and did nothing. When did she get raped and went back for more? Are you kidding me? Well, we're really judging people a lot on things. And somebody wrote earlier, how did they not report? I mean, if you follow social media at all, this week would have been real eye-opening if you didn't believe that this stuff really happens, because there were so many women coming forward with their why I didn't report stories.
We've been reporting it on the news.
There are a ton of reasons. Yeah. King of the Hill was the TV show. Thank you very much, 815. King of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And 847. 815, but the porn star's client is an ex-client of the woman lawyer who is representing Forward. That is questionable. Representing Ford, I guess you meant. But the porn star's client. But the porn star's client.
The porn star's not.
Well, the porn star's client would have been Donald Trump.
Yeah.
The porn star's client, I think she means the porn star's lawyer's
client.
Is an ex-client of the woman lawyer who is representing Ford. Okay, I can't even keep up with that.
Yeah.
If the FBI can just prove that he was there, it would prove he is a liar. Well, that's okay. So that's true. If the FBI, and there is some question about July 1st on his calendar, his detailed calendars.
Mm-hmm.
The calendars are hilarious to me.
Yeah.
But July 1st, people are asking questions about. And then there was a story going around during the day on Friday that, and I believe it got, it was just a internet hoax that was going around, but getting people excited that the prosecutor, Ms. Mitchell, had told the Republican leadership that she was going to have to read him his rights because he lied to her about something and she knew it. And that's why the Republicans quit letting her ask questions and they took back over. But then people are like, no, that story's a hoax. That's not what happened at all. But then there are questions, supposedly, about July 1st on his calendar. And he says there was some party he was at with these people. And they're saying, why don't we make sure that that didn't end up being the party that's being talked about here? And, you know, as Dr. Ford kept saying during testimony, I saw Mark Judge a couple weeks later, and he was very uncomfortable seeing me. And he was working at a Safeway. And if I knew when he was working at the Safeway, I could give you a better outline of here's when this happened. So I imagine that's one thing the FBI will look into, is trying to corroborate some sort of timeline, see if anything pans out. If they can't, you know, that's the thing, is like she's saying, oh, it was summer of 82. Maybe it wasn't. It sounds like she's not 1,000% sure of when right. It exactly was, right? It was a youthful mm-hmm. thing. It happened. And I think we should be able to understand that the memory of that moment is seared in her brain, as it would be, I think, for anyone. But how you got there, why you were there, all of these other things, I don't think you're going to necessarily remember everything about the night. And when you read about victims and people that have lived through these things, you can understand more and more that's how those things work. You remember the moment, the incident itself. Doesn't mm-hmm. mean you're going to remember everything around, especially if it's something terribly traumatic. People asking, why is she wearing a one-piece swimsuit? She said she was out swimming earlier in the day. She had clothes on. I believe she had clothes on over the swimsuit, if I understand correctly. Although, maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't think she was just wearing a swimsuit at a party.
No, she had been swimming earlier in the day, and right. She knew she wasn't supposed to go to a party. And she kept the swimsuit on, and I believe she had some clothes over it. But she kept right. The swimsuit on.
And when people keep asking, well, why didn't she report? Why wouldn't you have reported this? And Donald Trump saying, why didn't she call the FBI then? Which is such a...
First of all, you
dumb
don't
thing
call
to say,
the
like
FBI
you're calling the
in
FBI.
An incident like that.
And, A, she's 15 or so.
Mm-hmm.
She's underage. She's at a party where there's drinking. You're not going to tell your parents about that unless you absolutely have to. And in the end, she was assaulted, but she wasn't raped. And I think especially back in the early 80s, when you're out doing stuff you shouldn't be doing and something bad happens,
mm-hmm.
unless something incredibly bad happens where you do need to call the police, where you do need to go to the hospital, you probably aren't going to tell your parents.
Yeah.
You feel guilty about that you were doing it, you put yourself in the wrong place, that your parents wouldn't have wanted you to be there in the first place. It's very difficult as a kid I think, as we've read for a lot of women, to open up about an assault, you don't feel you're going to be believed, taken seriously, all of these things. But especially then you get your parents involved, you don't want your parents to know that you did something that you shouldn't have been doing. I think that all makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you can understand where
you wouldn't
have done that.
Let me say that. First of all, you've heard Patty Vasquez on our own station here talk about her experience and how at a young age, when something like that happens to you, you're traumatized. And to try to find someone to confide in is extremely difficult to do. And I will say that our family has experienced that. And for the person affected, one, to live through that incident, to feel violated, to feel the stress, the trauma of the incident, is something you cannot speak to if you have not experienced it or had an immediate family member experience it and eventually come forward to you. You cannot experience that feeling that has been compared to the feeling that soldiers in war come home with, that people who have been through car accidents and have lived have experienced. This is trauma of a physical and mental form. And the, you know me, I as a newsman, I try not to get involved in one side or another. I'm trying to see both sides. But in this case, when I hear comments from people who say, why didn't they go to the police? Why has it taken so long? Why this? Why that? I'm hearing it from mostly men, and I'm hearing it from people who have not experienced it. And it disgusts me.
Well, let me say this, that you can ask, why did this take so long to come forward without jumping on Dr. Ford? Because she wrote the letter back in July, I believe, the first time. So she was reaching out to people to say, hey, this should be known about this man. You can be upset with the Democrats about how this was handled, and that's fine. But yes, questioning why somebody would not have talked earlier or somebody wouldn't have reported it is silly. With all that we know, it's silly to say to somebody it's not true if you didn't report it.
And for her to for people to question why is she coming forward now, well, there are triggers with anything. There are anything traumatic. You can hide it inside you until there's a trigger that comes along that pushes you to a point where you either address the trauma, you deal with it. She went and talked to counselors.
Well, for her, that was back in 2012 when she did it with counseling.
Right.
You could ask why now, and she'll say, because he's being elevated to the Supreme Court. She's not shy about that. I mean, that is why she is speaking publicly right now.
And
not
he is because, on a very public national stage, as opposed to his current status in his judgeship, wherever his district is right now.
And that's where some other questions come into the politics of it, because if you didn't feel you should come forward when he was in the Washington district, which is one of the most important courts in the land, then why are you coming forward now?
She's not in the Washington district, though. She was in California.
That doesn't.
She had nothing to deal with that.
That doesn't matter, though.
But
as
far as being triggered, I think it does.
She's heard his name. She knew he was out there. She knew he could become a Supreme Court justice one day. Listen, I'm not blaming her at all for not coming forward. I'm saying here's what people on the right could say. He's already been in one of the most powerful courts in the land, making decisions that affect everybody, even if it's not the Supreme Court. So, you know, you could have come forward previously. It's her right not to. It's her right to come forward whenever she wants to come forward. I think that's okay. But it is because he's going to be on the Supreme Court and it carries more weight and that affects her more personally, I think. And so that is political in some way, and that's fine. It comes down to this. Does he have the character that people want to put somebody on the Supreme Court? Debate whether you want, why she came forward, what she came forward, all of these things. What it comes down to is, do people believe he should be there or not? That's what they're going to have to decide. We'll do more of this after the news. 312-981-7200. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. In the news now, brought to you by RZA Acura. Here's Roger Badish. Matt Bavala with you, 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the number. We're here for another hour till 5 a.m. Orion Samuelson will take over with the morning show. Be good to say I had a big O. Feels like I wasn't here last week, but we were all here last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's been a
Orion
long
was here.
I guess it's been a long week.
Yes.
As yes. We all know.
Really?
708 says, this is 100% politics. This guy didn't do anything wrong, and the FBI probe will prove it. Well, I don't think it's 100% politics. I think it is surrounded by politics, and politics are pushing it both ways. I don't think Dr. Ford... I don't think... You know, it's tough to say she didn't come forward because of politics, because I do believe, and I do believe she would say, the reason she came forward is because this is very important. It's the highest court in the land, and people should know about him. But you could argue and say, well, that's politics right there. However you're going to look at it, you're going to look at it. Whether or not the FBI probe will prove anything either way, I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to prove he did it. He was there. I don't think it's going to prove anything. I'll be very surprised if it does. What is going to happen is they're going to not have enough to really go on to make anything definitive. And as I said, the FBI doesn't make a definitive conclusion. They just try to find more information to present to the Senate, and they do with it what they will. The Democrats will say, we need more information. This isn't enough. We should have more time. Republicans will say, no way in hell. We're voting. And then the chips will fall where they may, and we'll see how those couple of senators that seemed on the fence feel. And maybe what the FBI investigation will do is put their minds at ease that, hey, nothing more is going to be found about this. He insists it didn't happen. How do we not take him at his word for it? So I don't know how that'll end out. But outside of what they are ever going to be able to find out about that, there are a couple other interesting things. One is, I said earlier, he the way he presented himself during his opening statement and the partisan rant he went on, I thought was very interesting for a Supreme Court justice nominee. The second thing is everything about those yearbooks. And he is Mr. Innocent about those yearbooks. All those goofy things that are written about King of the Keg Club, the Chief Ralpher or whatever. All of his reasoning for all of this. I wish he would have just come and said, you know what? It was high school. We were all drinking a lot. We were all idiots. So there were some stupid things written in that book. And he wrote it off as, oh, the editors of the book thought that, you know, this is the time that Animal House and Fast Times at Ridgemont High was out, and they took it as blah, 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 as if he had nothing to do with anything that was written under his picture. He had excuses basically for everything. Oh, I don't know what these things are. I don't know what this is. And the Renate alumni, is it Renate or Renata? Her name.
The school?
No. So there was a woman who is mentioned by Mark Judge and like 9 other football players as they were alumni.
Oh.
Renate alumni. And the woman's name was Renate or Renata. I'm not sure. But he says, oh, she was a friend, and that just meant we were all friends with her. That is the biggest line of BS I've ever heard in my life. Now, I know that you don't want to say, listen, we were really jerks in high school and that was stupid and I'm ashamed of it. He said he feels very bad that she took it the wrong way, but this was really just we were friends with her. That's such a lie. That is such a lie. 9 guys wouldn't have in their yearbook Renate alumni and it be about, oh, we were friends with this girl and that's our way of whatever. That's BS. That's making it look like she was easy. Somebody had a poem. If you don't have a date, if you're late, call Renate. I mean, it's ridiculous. They were making whether it was claims or boasts or just being stupid and immature. It wasn't, oh, we were friends and that was just our sign of respect for her or whatever. That is such BS. Such BS. And I know that when you're being questions about sexual assault, it would look really bad to admit this was kind of a mean thing we wrote about another girl. But you're lying. I mean, to me, that is, I'll never know what really happened in this case, but I know that he's lying about that. I know he's lying about that. You know that they drank more than he lets on to. Although he did go on, he did make it clear he does like beer.
Yeah.
He likes beer, supports beer, still drinks beer.
Mm-hmm.
Beer, 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 beer.
Likes a good beer.
But, I mean, the whole alumni thing there, that to me is a red flag. Not because he did that in high school. Especially back then, we were jerks in high school. We did stupid things. Especially if you're at an all-boys school. I was at an all-boys school. It was a different time. We weren't raised the same way we're trying to raise our kids now. And you said things, you acted like a jerk, whatever. The Renate alumni thing, that was them boasting. I'm sure they'd never, he says, oh, I'd never fooled around with her, I never did anything. I'm sure he didn't, because they were just a bunch of idiots who like to brag about things. I'm sure they did a lot of that, but they did do that. And they embarrassed her, and she was upset about it when she heard about it this past week. And very offended by it, as she should be. 847 says, I want all of our legislators to have to turn in their yearbooks from high school and be interviewed before they can run for office. Well, I would think if you asked your legislator to see their yearbook, they'd have trouble saying no. I mean, you're voting for them. If you asked a legitimate question about, were you a jerk in high school, I imagine you could find their yearbook, you know,
in some garbage pile somewhere.
Or
they're probably, you know, all chucking them now.
Or at the school itself. Go
well, that's
back
true.
To the school they went to and say,
schools keep copies.
I see these four yearbooks.
But those copies would not have signatures from friends. You know, the little sayings that you put in.
We're not talking about signatures. This is what was printed by the pictures. They each have a little bio of what they did,
see,
and everything. We're not even talking about anything written by anybody in a yearbook. We're just talking about what was actually printed in the yearbooks under their pictures.
Then times have changed, because our yearbook, all that you did not get to choose what got put next to your picture, except those activities that you were in. For example, glee club, theater, stage crew, football. And then the years that you were, years one through four, one through two.
And I don't know if this was just because they were seniors. I don't know which yearbook this was, but it would have their picture. It must have been their senior, because it seemed like big pictures.
Yeah,
and
you, then it would you have only whole, get to...
This had, his had a whole paragraph of different activities and things. And
it had to have been senior year.
It was all jokey stuff, like, you know, president of the barfing club and beach week, or, you know, it was all made up kind of stupid, goofy stuff, but some of it was offensive,
yeah,
or could be taken offensively. 847 writes, if nominee Kavanaugh did do it, there's no way he would admit it. His credibility is damaged now, but to admit sexual assault would be a whole nother level. He'd become a social pariah. His wife and kids would disown him. I feel he is boxed into a corner and must lie his way out to save face. And if he did do it, you're right, it would be very tough for him to say, you know what, we did this. If at when it very first came out, he had taken a tact of, now, this is assuming that he's not telling the truth. And I don't believe Dr. Ford is not telling the truth. So people say, if you say you believe Dr. Ford, but then you say, but I believe Kavanaugh when he says it wasn't him, then you don't believe Dr. Ford. And that is a very tough position to be in. But would he lie about it? It would be tough for him not to, right? I mean, why would he say, oh, yeah, that's right, I did do this? Because it's a very terrible thing. Now, if at very first, when this first was alleged, if he said, oh, my God, I completely forgot I did that. I was so drunk. It was at a time in my life during high school when all of us were drinking incredibly too much. I don't remember this happening, but if she says it happened, I believe it did. I'm sure I didn't intend to assault her. She does say that they were laughing maniacally. I mean, it sounds somewhat like they were being incredibly stupid, and sounds like they were laughing as this is all was going on. And that Mark Judge jumped on them a couple of times.
That I don't understand.
Also leads to a little, was this more just really drunken horseplay, or was this an actual attack? It doesn't really matter what it was, because in the end, he's on top of her, covering her mouth as she's screaming. That's an assault. So it doesn't really matter what their intention was, but he could have possibly come out at the beginning and said, we were drinking way too much. It was a stupid time of life. I feel so terrible that I've hurt Dr. Ford in that way, and that is not the person I became, and I'm so sorry that she has lived with... I mean, maybe he could have done that at the very beginning, and maybe this would have passed. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think President Trump would have not respected that ever, because he's always fight back. So I don't know. And I don't know if that's what's really in his heart, and now he's painted into a corner, and of course he can't admit it. There's no way to say. He says it didn't happen. 815 says the softest pillow in the world is a clear conscience. If Brett Kavanaugh thinks these last 10 days have been arduous, he should think about the restless sleep he'll get throughout his lifetime appointment.
It's been a long week.
It's going to be another long one, too.
Yeah, that's right.
312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. It's 423 AM, 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, high above Wacker Drive on Michigan Avenue. Roger, the Chicago Tribune lights are still out on the Tribune Tower building. We'll keep you updated week to week as to when those go on as the remodeling, I guess, of the Tribune Tower goes on. Boy, it depends on what side you're on this. You think that, you know, Senator Flake, I don't know if I've gained respect for him or not in all this, but he said the country is being torn apart. And boy, he is right. I mean, the texters, you guys, you either think I'm in one way or another on this, you're one way or another on it. There's not much. I'm trying as much as I can to just try to step back from it and just look at it as a whole. And that's why I'm talking a little bit more about, you know, the politics on both sides. Both sides are playing politics here. I do believe that. But, you know, a lot has been texted to me about the money she's getting and where the money's coming from. Somebody writes, I hope someone documents Mark Judge's lifestyle now, and Mark Judge's lifestyle a year from now. Payola is in the air. An open ATM card with his name on it is being used as we speak. I don't think that's true. I don't think she's getting paid. I don't think he's getting paid. I can understand why you think that, because it's so important to both sides. 708 writes, I think Dr. Ford was jilted, not attacked, by Judge and Kavanaugh. This is her way of getting even. Women never forget. Oh, my God, people. You think that when she was 15, she was jilted, or 16, or whenever, she was jilted so badly that 35 years later, she's been waiting? I wonder if that night in high school, when he ignored her at a party, if she said, you just wait till your Supreme Court nomination process, I'll show you then. And she waited. She lied in wait for all those years. Oh, my God, people. Let's go back to the Roswell, New Mexico story. I got something there for you. 405 says, I think you are after the same thing that I myself am after, and that's just the truth. I don't think you necessarily take a side. You just want the truth, the unbiased truth. And, well, the thing is, the tough part is we're not going to get that. We're not going to ever know the absolute truth about this. You can believe Dr. Ford, you can believe Judge Kavanaugh, but you're just never going to know. And that's the gray area of all this that makes everything very tough. And the thing that it comes down to is, who do you believe and what do you believe? And, you know, this isn't a trial. It's not about charges on Judge Kavanaugh. It's about whether you think he's fit for the Supreme Court. And I don't know that you could base that on this or not, but you can base it on the other things you've seen from him. The biggest black mark against him, I thought, that came out of this was more his rant at the beginning. I don't like that from somebody who's going to be deciding on the laws of the land. What comes around goes around. What the hell does that mean? I don't want you deciding the laws of the land. A judge, to me, especially as you go through this process in this world we live in, I would think you expect that things are going to happen, that you're going to face obstacles in life, and that you're going to handle them with grace and dignity, and that just whole attack just really turned me off.
And impartiality based on the rule of law.
And listen, I understand it's hard to be impartial when you feel you're being attacked, and when you feel your family's
true.
Being attacked, and all these things are happening, and all you hear about is the other side, and you're like, hey, we're being attacked. We're getting death threats. Our lives are upended. This is ridiculous. This is political. I get it. I understand it. And I understand he's going to feel that, boy, I'm really getting railroaded here. But it's his job to rise above that, in my mind, as a Supreme Court judge.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, he failed that part of the test.
One would expect that that would be a character trait.
I mean,
for someone in that
position. I just can't imagine any of those other judges getting that hot and bothered. I know we don't hear much from the judges. We don't know them very well.
Right.
But you just can't see that out of any of the others. I mean, that was for a guy being accused of being this type of guy, that rant did not help him at all. People who had a negative opinion of him, mm-hmm. it did not get better from that. People that already believed him or believed in him probably mm-hmm. were just fine with it. But he didn't win anybody over that he didn't already have, my guess is, with that speech.
But what we won't know is, did he care? Did he care if he won anyone over who was not with him at that point?
Well, my personal opinion, as I said earlier, is he only cared about one person during that opening statement. And I, as it went on, and he gets all teary at a bunch of other points,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking to myself, you better ramp it back up by the end, because you're going to have whatever President Trump is left with last, and if it's you being blubbery about things,
mm-hmm.
he's not going to like that at all. You know?
Oh.
I like my Supreme Court judges not to cry. I can already hear the phrase. But he won him over with the beginning, and President Trump tweeted about it later that day. So he played it right, that's for sure. All right, the 4:30 news coming up here in just a moment on 720 WGN. That's right, Jess, I forgot to say hello to Kerry Lipinski tonight. He's probably already at work if he's working this morning. But Kerry Lipinski, my new favorite TSA agent, who recognized me at O'Hare a couple of weeks ago, was very kind. By the way, that reminds me, next week I will not be here. I have to take the weekend off, Roger. We have one of our biggest Steve Dale clients in town. As you know, outside of here, I have a little production company. One of the things we do is syndicate Steve Dale's national radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
And our good friend, a gentleman we've become very good friends with over the years. He's more than a client. He's a good friend. So whenever he comes to town, we have to go out.
Well, of course.
He's one of those boys, Roger, that can go out and go out.
Well, let me ask you, though. Does he like beer?
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what, him and Brett, they get along real well. But my buddy would be like, if this all happened, he'd be like, dude, I was blacked out. I have no idea what happened. You tell me what happened. Although, no, he doesn't black out, actually. He'll drink the entire night.
That's good.
It's crazy. And so the theory is Cubs hopefully will have a home playoff game next Friday, and we will attend that. And then we will attend all the establishments in the area afterwards.
Okay. Well, hopefully they won't need to have that playoff game. I'm just saying.
No, next Friday. That would be game two of the National League.
Oh, Friday. I'm sorry. Next I thought Friday. You said Monday. I apologize.
Nope. That's why I wouldn't be here next Friday night and Saturday morning, because I got a client in town. Hopefully we're at a Cubs game and then out celebrating a little bit. So.
I'm just slightly distracted this morning.
Don't be distracted.
I don't know why.
Okay.
I'm trying not to be.
Jess, you're saying they're going to win today because you're going? No, Sunday. You're going to the last game, right? Which game are you going to?
The one on Sunday.
Sunday. So the final game of the year.
Yes.
That might be a very important game.
I know.
And you know what I read
today?
That's
why I'm going. I
apologize if I mentioned this earlier in the show. I don't remember now. I read that, and I think this is still a possibility. The Cardinals didn't get eliminated yesterday, right? No, they're still battling for the second playoff spot. I think they're a game behind the Dodgers for that. I don't know, based on tonight, where they're at. But there was a possibility, at least earlier today, or on Friday, that the Cubs and the Cardinals could both clinch on Friday. The Cubs could clinch the division, and the Cardinals could clinch a playoff berth, even if one of them loses. So there's the possibility that both the Cubs and the Cardinals would be celebrating on the field.
That's the weirdest thing.
I'm pretty sure that's never happened in the history of baseball, where two teams clinched at the same game.
That would be unholy.
It would be weird, wouldn't it?
It would.
It would be weird.
Extremely.
The Cubs have already clinched the playoffs. They didn't have...
Right.
They didn't have...
They're already in.
Yeah, yeah.
But they would have to clinch the division.
That's what they're hoping.
Yeah.
Because you don't want just that one game.
Right, right,
possibly out.
Right. Yeah.
So...
I was going to bring you guys.
I know you offered, Justin. I appreciate that. We just got, you know... When you have four kids, you'll understand. Trust me.
I mean, Roger isn't coming either.
Because I'm working. Sunday is like my tight schedule day. Because I leave here at 5, and I'm back here at 5.
Roger, you can get off with working. Matt, I don't know about you.
I need to work. I've got bills to pay.
Disney Fund update.
Yes. Oh, we're still at about $300.
Well, you got to quit spending all your money on candy for the newsroom. Stop it already.
I know. But it's Halloween's coming up.
Other people can bring in candy.
But they don't.
Well, then just bring in candy for yourself.
No, because I need to share.
Roger.
You can't just... I learned this like the first day that I brought pizza in. You heard about that. Mm-hmm. When we were all down on the first floor. I brought pizza in, like one or two slices. Okay. Everybody comes running in because they smelled it. Mm-hmm. And they say, oh, is there pizza? Oh, darn. Oh, I wish there was pizza. So I felt so guilty that I brought a whole pizza the next week. And then that thing was gone in like 2 seconds.
So what makes you feel more guilty?
What?
Somebody here not getting a slice of pizza,
mm-hmm.
or one of those beautiful granddaughters not going to Disney World?
Ripping my heart out.
Thank you. That was the plan.
You did it.
Put the money in the fund. Quit buying people here candy. None of us need it, for goodness sakes.
I'm going to figure out a way to do both.
All right.
I need more work.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
Oh,
all right. I have so much more, so many more texts, so much more we could just keep doing on this. But I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I have a feeling in a couple of weeks we'll have more to talk about. So we're just going to, let's just take a cleansing breath. All right. Let's all. Let's breathe in. And out. Oh, that feels better. So today, I got to go home and get a quick nap. We're going to go down to Bloomington, Illinois, where my sister lives.
No, I love Bloomington.
For the first time, I think in like 3 years, my sister will be there when she has all of her boys at home. Ben, my second oldest nephew, my oldest nephew Thomas lives here in Chicago. My second oldest nephew Ben lives in Nashville, where he works at Vanderbilt Hospital. He has for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't all been together in like 3 years.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm very excited because we always have a good football game and
nice.
A little barbecue and maybe some wiffle ball. So.
Is ISU in town for a football game?
Nobody in the family went to ISU.
Oh, okay, never mind.
That they live there.
Never mind.
Because Dave works at State Farm. So
there you go.
That's our big headquarters down there.
I worked in Bloomington.
At WJBC?
I worked at WBNQ, their FM station.
All right.
I was in sales.
Oh, really?
And I also produced commercials. Yeah. And that's where Bridget and I met.
Oh, really?
Yep. She had graduated ISU, was working down there, and she was working at the Ponderosa Steakhouse.
At the Ponderosa, boy. We have hit the... So I'm going to write this down. So earlier tonight, I mentioned that we ditched school and went to Shakey's.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
That we probably went and bought a Super Bowl Adventure. Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Is that all that I mentioned? I swear there was one other thing. And then Roger met Bridget at the Ponderosa, which actually does still exist, just very rare to find one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're few and far between.
Man, we really...
Yeah.
Our list of things Jess has never heard of that we've talked about.
Of course.
Met her at the Ponderosa.
Yeah. She was a waitress, and I went in for lunch. I was a salesman at the time for BNQ. And she surprisingly became quite enamored with me.
Was she drunk?
No. No, she was working. She was on duty. They didn't serve beer there, I don't think.
All right. I don't know.
Just
a shot at you.
Of course, it could be the fact that I was the only one in the place. the lunch crowd hadn't started yet.
Fewer options, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, fewer options. So I was all she had.
When's the last time you were back down in the ISU area?
Oh, my God.
It's been a long time.
Well, our daughter went there for
so it's been at least 2 years. So it's been about 10 years or more since you were
down there? It's been about 18 years.
Okay.
18, 20 years.
They've really fixed up really nice some of the area right down there.
Oh, okay.
New hotels, a lot of little food places. There's a 2 to 4 block stretch right near the campus that's really new and nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really neat.
All right.
That's
where I first experienced Steak and Shake. And I used to eat there all the time.
That's not healthy.
It was, sure was good.
It is good, though. Yeah, steak and shake is good. So we've got, we're doing that. We've got Cubs in some really must-win games.
Yeah.
Which will be exciting this weekend.
Yeah, Bears.
Got the Bears.
Playing, they're leading their division.
And that's a noon game. The Bears.
That's right.
First noon game of the year, right? Yeah.
Well, since we haven't had a noon game this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our first noon game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we got a busy week. And you said today it's only high of 58?
Yeah, going to be nippy out.
Oh, man. And what's Sunday?
Sunday in our area is, hold on a second, going to be 67.
Oh, good.
But then Monday up to 78. So it'll get a little warmer again.
Yeah, that's good. That's good because I got to finish painting the porch. Started a project last week, and me and Tommy, we have, but like 3 years, here's a snapshot of the Bubalas and how they look. I think it was 3 years ago now, we had our roof redone and the siding redone. Okay?
Yeah.
When that was done, they took off all the shutters, and we were going to have them repainted and then put them back up. Shutters are still under the deck.
Oh, good place for them.
And then when they redid, so all of the trim on the house was like a beige, which we never loved. So when they redid everything, we redid it in white. And I think it looks much nicer. Makes the color pop more. And the siding. But the porch, so we have a long porch that goes from end to end of the house. It's a little, you know, 3 foot cement slab. But then we have a railing and like spindles, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's all beige, painted beige. So over the last 3 years, all the trim was changed to white, but we still got this beige porch.
Oh.
So finally, I power washed it a few weeks ago, and then I started painting it last weekend. And on Sunday, I started like at 10 in the morning. The Bears were playing at 3. I thought, I'll get the first coat done. Go watch that Bears game.
Mm-hmm.
I painted for 5 hours. Tommy's out there with me for 2 hours. We didn't even get halfway through one coat.
You got all those spindles there.
Oh, the spindles are killers.
I know.
Oh, my God, Raj. It's going to take me till winter. I'm praying to get a second coat on before the first snow. Right, we got halfway through. I never had time this week to get back out there. We got a half white, half beige, only one coat of paint porch now. I just every time I try to make the house better, I get closer to truly living a Sanford and Son life.
Have you ever thought of just like taking the rail off?
We talked about that because some of the people in the neighborhood either never had it or have, since they've redone things, like taken the railing and the spindles off and just have the poles that go all the way down at the four separate parts.
Okay.
But we think it looks better with at our house, at least. We think, no, the spindles and the whole thing looks better for the size of the porch and stuff. So it's a pain in the butt. Yes, Jess.
Remember when I was telling you earlier about how people over 40 should not work more than 3 days a week?
Yes.
Well, the study ended up concluding that if people over 40 work more than 3 days a week, their, what does this article say here? If they end up working more than 25 hours, their performance began to decline.
Well, that's interesting. Here's the problem. For me, if I work less than 25 hours a week, I'll be broke as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss, I don't have a boss. It's the company. So if the company goes under, then we're really broke as hell. So I'm kind of stuck there. I will agree, though, the performance declines as the week goes on. And the more the painting has to get done.
As soon as the weekend becomes clearer within your sight, your performance starts dropping.
Well, I'll tell you what, the last 2 days with the Kavanaugh stuff going on, it was hard to work because I'm working out of the house. I got the TV on. It's history in the making.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was hard to step away from at times.
Yeah. And then keeping tabs on the Van Dyke trial?
Which I did not do at all. At all. And I was saying to the guys, the city of Chicago is pretty lucky that this other stuff's going on because we're not paying nearly as much attention. 630 writes, "Hi, Matt. I met my wife of 41 years at Ponderosa in Schaumburg. We eat at Ponderosa in Princeton, Indiana, when we visit her aunt in Santa Claus, Indiana." Thank you, Streamwood Steve.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Quick break. We're going to say hi to Orion Samuelson in a couple of minutes here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. If you're just getting up, thanks for being with us this morning here on WGN Radio, 452 AM, live in the Allstate Showcase I'm sorry, the Allstate Skyline Studios. We'll say hi to Orion Samuelson here in just a moment. Again, I won't be with you next weekend, but I'll be back the weekend after that. I'll miss you all while I'm out gallivanting next Friday night. Don't forget, coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio. He's talking about the porch project we got going on. 847 says, I'll trade jobs, Matt. I'm mixing concrete on Saturday. 10 bags. I mix 10 bags a weekend. A weekend, he meant. I mix 10 bags a weekend for the past 6 weekends. That's 600 pounds of concrete. I can barely walk the next day. I'm 58.
What's he building?
That's a good question. A bunker.
A bunker.
I don't know. That is a lot of concrete. It
is a lot of.
Maybe it's wow. Little, maybe he's doing side jobs for people on the weekends.
A swimming pool?
Maybe he's putting in little sheds. Little concrete pad and building sheds in the backyard.
Could be.
Like one of those. Somebody, 502, says, anytime you go to Illinois State, you need to go to Avanti's and get the gondola sandwich. Best sandwich ever. We've had Avanti's gondolas a million times down at my sister's house. Mm. We love those gondolas. They're very good. Very delicious, Roger.
I would imagine. I'm not going to argue with you.
I would hope not. You know what it's time to do?
What is
it? It's time to say good morning to our very own Orion Samuelson, all the way out at WGN West in Arizona. Good morning, Big O.
Well, good morning to you, too, and greetings from the desert in Arizona, where the temperature continues to be warmer than normal at this time of the year. But I tell you one thing, there have been several hurricanes in the Pacific this year, in addition to the Atlantic hurricanes, and they've been talking now on the weather shows here in Scottsdale, Arizona, about a hurricane in the Pacific, Hurricane Rosa, I think is her name, and coming into the southwest and dumping 3 to 4 inches of rain on the desert. But I notice now that that has been downgraded to a tropical depression, because 3 to 4 inches of rain in the desert would be a toad strangler. Believe you, that it just would flood and everything, because the desert isn't ready to handle that kind of a rain. When, you know, the average rainfall every year at Sky Harbor Airport at Phoenix is 8 inches.
Is that because the ground, is it because the sewers aren't set up for that, or is it because the ground does not absorb it because it's a desert climate?
Yeah, I think it's both. You know, they don't put in storm sewers here because when you only have 8 inches of rain, why do you go to the expense of putting in storm sewers? So water runs on the ground, and some of the highways particularly have low spots where the water can drain off, but before it gets drained off, it really can do a lot of flood damage. But so far, I don't think we're going to see that this year. And you just mentioned your favorite sandwich at Illinois State University today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have one of my favorite sandwiches at Peoples Valley, Arizona. That's about hour and 45 minutes north of the Phoenix area, because for the 86th year, the cattle producers of Yavapai County are going to stage their annual club sale and beef barbecue. Yesterday at noon, they threw 1,500 pounds of beef wrapped in what they call 30-pound clods of wire netting and a gunny sack type of material. And they've been sitting in that 6-foot-deep pit for the last, ever since noon yesterday when they put it in the ground. And, of course, there is charcoal on the bottom of the pit, so that's been cooking. And they'll take the dirt off the cover this today at noontime. And then they'll feed beef sandwiches and cowboy baked beans to about probably 1,500 people.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
And so this is your favorite sandwich?
It's one of my favorites, yes. I have several, but it's one of my favorites because that beef has been sitting on charcoal heat underground all night long ever since noon yesterday. So, and then they have the FFA members come out and shovel the dirt off the cover, and then they start throwing the what they call clods of beef out and put them on cutting boards and six cowboys and my wife, Gloria, get involved in doing the carving and getting everything ready to feed the people. Gloria said, first time we went to this event, and Gloria saw the cowboys that were cutting up the beef and the 1,500 people waiting in line for it. She said, "You're going way too slow. Give me a carving knife." And so they gave her a carving knife, and subsequently have given her her own personal carving knife in a box. And so she'll be up there with the five or six cowboys cutting beef for about an hour today.
Oh, good for her. All right, I got to ask, Gorian, underground, is that is there then moisture that helps out with the beef, or what, or is it just for show, or why underground?
Well, it's something that happened, I guess, years ago when they would particularly do beef in this manner. If they didn't do it on an open fire, they would put it in there, and it's the dirt never covers the meat. You've got steel plates that you cover the hole with, and so the dirt never gets to the meat.
But I wondered if, like, that, you know, helped, you know, by being surrounded, it became an oven type thing instead of open air, or if there was a moisture dirt that helps, you know, get some more moisture in the meat or something like that.
Well, it's a formula that works. That's all I can tell you.
I don't need to know how. I need to eat the sandwich. That's all I need. That's what you're saying.